Boxing Championship.
Would you think that in this parking lot?
No. The state?
Yeah.
The security guards?
I'll have them out there. I'll take care of them.
Okay, we're live. Good morning, everyone. We're going to get started. We're a couple minutes late here. Welcome back. We've had a nice summer break, but it's good to get the band back together and get rural Utah running again. We have a special reintroduction this morning that feels a lot like the continual George Strait Cowboy Rides Away shows where he retires for the last time and gets us for $1,000 tickets in Vegas every couple years. But we have a pretty special thing. Commissioner Bruce Adams, who previously represented the Southeastern Utah AOG, is back on the board as an appointment from UDOT. So we're very happy to have you back. I should let you know that we're going to require the gifts that we gave you for your going away party back.
And a song at every meeting.
Yeah. There are some strings attached to this ride, but no, welcome back, Bruce, and we're really happy to have you back. So we'll start with you for introductions.
Hey, I'm Bruce Adams. Used to be a county commissioner in San Juan County for 20 years. Retired and got appointed to the UDOT Commission. Nagy's term was up on the UDOT Commission. So they asked Kurt Schlaw, who he would like to see on the board more than anybody. So I appreciate Kurt's help getting me back on the board. Thank you.
Real quick, Commissioner, I want to recognize our new legal counsel, Brooke McCarrick, who's been assigned to us from the Attorney General's office, and so a special welcome to Brooke as well. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm Commissioner Jerry Taylor, Garfield County, and I represent the Fife County AOG.
Mayor Dean Baker, I represent Uinta County.
Ralph Brown from Sevier County, representing Sevier County.
Bill Winfield, Grand County Commissioner, and I'm representing CERDA, the Southeastern Rural Development Agency.
My name is Curtis Wells. I'm representing rural Utah.
Good morning, everyone. Laura Hansen. I'm the State Planning Coordinator here for the Governor's Office of Planning and Budget.
Scott Bartholomew, San Pete County Commissioner, representing R6.
Duchesne County Commissioner Greg Miles, representing Duchesne County.
Deputy State Treasurer Kurt Slaw. I'm just here to keep Bruce in line.
So. Good timing, Jack.
Jack Lytle from Daggett County Commission, and I'm representing Neal Basin AOG.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Okay, we'll invite Kaylee up to give us our financial review. Good morning.
Good morning.
So good news, you have enough money to afford. Bad news, you don't have it in the right column.
So you have $28.9 million $28.9 million to spend. You have $26.9 million in ask for this meeting, which means that you'll have about $2 million remaining. However, there is too much in grants being requested. And so you will need to convert some of those grants over to loans so that we can use the bonus fund to fund some of those if you so choose to fund all the projects.
I have some questions. Okay, I'm trying to understand the numbers here. So previously we've approved $1.5 million is all, right, in the funding request? Is that accurate? Okay. And then there's like $30.5 million on the docket for today. Buck? Oh, all right. So I'm trying to understand what we have to spend today.
Okay.
So using this spreadsheet, the 28 million, that's 28.9 million is what we have in the account.
Yep.
To spend.
Yep.
Right. So what is okay, so what is the 2 million then?
So the $26.9 million, so if it's suspended and funded and Candace has already gone through and funded, we've included that as not available for you guys today because you're not going to actually, Candace has already approved that.
Okay.
And so the $26.9 million is what I had on my sheet that you're talking about today, which the $2 million is the 28.9 minus the 26.9. So I have $28.9 million available for you to spend, and then I have $26.9 million is the projects that you're going to discuss today.
Nine. Where are we getting? Is that 25.5 plus 1.1 on from Candace's sheet? I'm trying to.
Point of order?
Yeah.
Yes.
There was a new project added before she had the numbers that the land is coming in for special consideration. And it's reflected on mine, but not hers.
Okay.
And it's not a lot.
How much is it?
$517,007.
Okay, so then you'll have $1.5 million remaining. After today, if you were to fund everything.
Except we don't have enough mineral lease to fund everything as grant as requested.
Right.
That's what we're saying.
You have enough money in total, you just can't fund it in grant.
Okay. So how much needs to move? How much as requested has to move to loan from
about 8 million.
Grant? About 8 million of grant has to be loaned in order to make this work.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry now.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right. We need to approve our minutes from the June 5th, 2025 review meeting and the June 5th to 6th, 2025 policy meeting. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make that motion.
Motion made by Commissioner Winfield.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Hanson. Commissioner Taylor spoke very loudly.
I was wondering what she's done wrong because she has to sit by the teacher.
That's exactly what I asked.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
That's for both. Yes.
That was for both. Yep.
Okay. Oh, abstain.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner, Transportation Commissioner Adams. Abstaining. First project up today is for Ballard City, the new road corridor. I'd like to welcome any representatives from the applicants up to the dais. Welcome.
Thank you.
Please introduce yourselves and just give us a brief overview of your project.
I'm Councilman Ben Allred. I live in Ballard. This is Jeff Baker. You guys probably have had to deal with him before. He's quite a handful. Good morning, everybody. You guys look like you have way too much fun out here. No wonder they only have it every few months. This is a fun group. So we're presenting and asking for a grant with a 25% cash match from the participants in this project. This project is to complete a through street that we currently don't have. It comes through Roosevelt and it comes through Ballard, but there is this section of road that does not connect the two. And in the larger picture, this is part of a three community, really, transportation plan that would allow us to access schools, parks, walking paths, that sort of thing, without traversing the highway, which we have a lot of truck traffic and that sort of thing, and so we're trying to kind of circumvent that with the local population. We've got Duchesne County is involved, Roosevelt City and Ballard City. Ballard City is here presenting and asking because we felt we were in the best position as the steering committee for this project, but all entities are participating in local cash match of the 25% and then the rest in grant.
Thank you. Questions for the applicant? Curtis?
Yes, sir.
I don't really have a question of the applicant. I just want to know if Kurt's ever been to Ballard.
My grandmother is actually, her whole family's from Ballard. So yeah, I've been to Ballard a lot of times.
Then you're in favor of it, right?
Yeah. I love Ballard.
We've got a lot of flaws out there. I didn't realize they were, you know, those flaws. But
I don't know,
you
know, I don't know if Ben remembers, but he was in my ward until like sixth grade.
Yeah, in Jensen.
Yeah. So.
Oh, now we're
this
playing.
This is slam dunk.
Listen, you weren't supposed to let that out until after the approval, so.
Hey, thank you so much. I just want to thank you for bringing some local match to the table. It's always nice when we have communities have skin in the game. And I recognize you're a small community, but given that we have $8 million to convert from grant to loan, I feel like I need to ask, do you have the ability to take on any portion of this as a loan at a low interest rate?
So the answer, and I know nobody wants to hear this, is
right.
No, for two reasons. One, it's a loan, and we would prefer not. But the main reason is with three different communities involved, a loan on this project then has to be split and tracked between three different entities, and it becomes very difficult. I would also like to point out that taken as a larger transportation plan, which we've got on here, the different phases, the ones that have already been completed with other funding and with local cash, it brings our local match to something like 38% for total volume of the project. So, I mean, we've got a lot of skin in the game already, but that's where it gets real sticky on this one.
Yes. So your match is $794,000.
No, our total match is $1,088,000.
Because
yeah, the local cash from other, that is Roosevelt City's contribution and Duchesne County's contribution, and then ours is the $294,000, bringing the total local cash up to $1,088,000.
Here we go, Kurt. I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
As requested?
As requested.
Any motion made to place on the priority list as requested, seconded by Commissioner Lytle. Comments, Commissioner Lytle, and
yeah.
Kurt.
No comment.
Kurt, and then Commissioner
okay,
Mike.
So I'll make one comment. So, and this is maybe a point of order for Kaylee, but I don't know if we're taking into account, it looks like we're forecasting to bring in another $7 million, is that right, before the funding meeting? So when you say we have to shift $8 million over, that doesn't take into account anything we might collect from now until the funding meeting, right? Okay. So if you guys don't want to make the hard decisions about any of this today, and you want to fund all the grant as requested, that just means we might have some tougher decisions to make at the funding meeting.
That's true.
You know, so I guess that was my only point of discussion. We can't just approve everything, but I guess if we do, then we'll just have to make the tough decisions at the funding meeting. That's my only comment.
Yeah. Thank you. Further comments on the motion? Seeing none, I'll call for a roll call vote, please.
Treasurer Slaw.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen.
Yep.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
That motion passes.
So the only thing I'll note out as well is this needs an exception.
Oh, yes, it does.
So Bruce, you made the motion.
I don't know if it's financial hardship. Help me, Kurt. What should it be?
I didn't make the motion.
Well, I don't have the sheet.
It's in the. Oh, all right. It's so in your red folder.
No, there's not one.
they're on the screen. On the screen.
The exception is I really like these guys. Does that count?
This man, he should have come back. I like him. Yeah. It's really great.
Hardship's good. Well, as a second, even special circumstance, because of the way they've partnered, and you tell me if this makes sense, but the partnering they've done to make this project among the entities, I think suggests a special circumstance without looking at the others, because they have a lot of skin in the game. This is we're providing the grant part of it in a bigger project.
That sounds good to me, Jeff. Number two?
I was looking at number
four.
Four.
Special circumstance.
Yeah. Four. Thanks, Laura.
Okay. That's open to suggestion only, but whatever you think.
That's good. Okay.
That motion passes.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, thank you guys. Appreciate you.
Okay. Good to see you again.
Okay, up next we have the Uinta Water Conservancy District. Please join us at the dais and introduce yourselves. This project is for the Jensen Unit Pumping Plant, Phase 1. Welcome.
Thank you. So, William Merkley with the UN Water Conservancy District. I serve as the general manager. Bart Jensen with Jones & Neville Engineering, who's been assisting us with our application. He is handing out a quick sheet that shows a service area and some of the locations of the infrastructure that we're going to be talking about today. Now, I know before I get into my presentation, I'll forget, so I just want to acknowledge your CIB staff and also our local AOG for their assistance in our application and helping us through the preparation for the presentation as well. They've been excellent, and just I didn't want to forget as we get into the weeds here with the project.
And I have not lived in his ward, but I've known him since he was a little boy.
Yes, Jack is a great friend and a great asset to our communities in the Uinta Basin. So just maybe quickly about the Uinta Water Conservancy District. We were created in 1956 as the sponsoring repayment and operating entity of two different units of the Central Utah Project. If you've been into the Vernal area, you'll recognize Stanaker Reservoir, which is called the Vernal Unit, and then Red Fleet Reservoir, which is the Jensen Unit. And the project that we're bringing for you today is the last remaining component of the Jensen Unit, or Red Fleet Reservoir, a pumping facility on the Green River, which in general terms, and it has a long and very interesting history, having been first conceived or approved congressionally back in the mid-50s, but then a definite plan report completed and submitted for congressional approval by the Bureau of Reclamation in the mid-70s. So it's been a long time coming, but broadly speaking, what this pumping plant does is it pumps up to 12,000 acre feet of water out of the Green River for irrigation of lands in the Jensen area adjacent to Ashley Valley, or more commonly Vernal. And the Brush Creek primary rights that those irrigators use today that have to pass through Red Fleet Reservoir are retained. And then they are pumped over to treatment facilities at the head of Ashley Valley and made available for municipal and industrial use. Now, there was a certain amount of M&I water that was created with the building of the facility in and of itself. But it was always anticipated that a second and larger block of M&I water be made available to our valley with the installation or construction of this pumping facility. Now, the circumstances that were anticipated back in the 70s took us a little longer to get there, several decades longer to get there as far as the need is concerned. But we now have, on our dry year supply, we have municipal water providers that are bumping up against their dry year supply. And emergency contracts and exchanges and provisions were made this year on a very dry and low water availability year to to keep our culinary water systems going. And so this project, with the Water Conservancy District, we feel we have a stewardship responsibility to do long-term planning as far as water supply is concerned. We're a wholesale water provider to not only our irrigation companies in our area, but also we service Vernal City, Mazur Water Improvement District, Jensen Water Improvement District, and then the larger Ashley Valley Water and Sewer Improvement District. And so what we're asking today, this is a very complex and unique project, and our approach to this is very unique and complex as well. We have a set of pre-construction activities that are absolutely necessary in order to push this project along so that we can work with our federal partners for the construction of the facility. Those pre-construction activities include updating all of that prior planning that took place by the Bureau of Reclamation. The circumstances have obviously changed as far as where the water is going to be pumped to and how it's going to be pumped and who are the beneficiaries of this project. And so all of that needs updated and adjusted. And then, of course, we have a very robust EIS or the NEPA process that is going to have to take place. This is pulling water out of the Green River, which by exchange pulls water out of the Colorado River. And so we anticipate a very robust discussion about the environmental impacts and downstream impacts of this project as well. So our request, and I understand the conversation, and we're sensitive to it, that you've had already this morning. This phase one that we're talking about, these pre-construction activities, is a small part of a much larger project. We anticipate our engineering consultants and partners have come up with a opinion of probable cost of nearly $20 million for the facility in and of itself. And that is consistent with back-of-the-napkin calculations that the Bureau of Reclamation has done based on their 1970 idea of how much this would cost and escalating that with their construction cost index. And so we are looking at a total physical construction of over $20 million, but these phase one activities that we're talking about today equate to about $4 million. And just wanted to bring up one other. We have been actively seeking other funding to assist and getting other partners on board. We have been working through Representative Kennedy's office, submitted an application to his office through the community funding or community project funding process, and he has been excellent. His staff has been excellent. We feel like we jumped a significant hurdle. Our project was included in the House Appropriations Bill. We anticipate that it will be approved by the larger House before it goes to the Senate. But as you all know, certainty in Washington is very uncertain. And so we have, as we typically do as a district, we leave no stone left unturned as far as trying to put a funding package together that can be beneficial to the district and our customers.
Thank you. So along those lines, you know, there's the issue of us being short on grant funding and the request being outside of, you know, the recommendations that we go by. But because you have this parallel effort to receive this funding, federal funding, why not give it some time and see if that comes through for you and then come back to us after you, you know, see the result of that exercise? I mean, that would help us out quite a bit. But I think it's a fair question.
Oh, certainly. And we actually anticipated that we would have, when we submitted that in the spring, they had told us that by the October time frame that we might have a decision out of Congress whether or not they were going to help us out. I don't know if you've read the news lately. They're talking about government shutdowns again. They're talking about continuing resolutions. And if they do that, then normal appropriations bills don't happen.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that's a fair that's fair and something that we anticipated and hope to have an answer for you already, but just don't.
Yeah. Yes.
Thanks. so much, and yes, we feel your pain on waiting for the federal government to get their act together on things. But just one, and this may be sort of a procedural question, on page 38 of our policy manual, it says the planning and study requests require a 50% cash contribution from the applicant, and it sounds like that may be coming through, but I wonder, I mean, are we even allowed per our policy manual to fund this without
policy?
So, I don't think we're going to. We don't want to go against our policy. I wouldn't.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
This is not planning for general, though. This isn't general planning money.
Sure.
This is project.
Right. But it does say study, planning and study request. I just wonder if maybe we just kick the can down the road a little bit and then, you know, wait till we get some additional guidance from whether you'll have other money coming through.
Right.
Commissioner White. I think in support of their effort, I think there's some other way. Maybe it's a form of kicking the can or not. But I do think we can come up with appropriate, articulate exemptions. I think what Commissioner Miles mentioned is this isn't planning in the sense of planning. The word's there, but NEPA is its own form, and we don't go half and half on NEPA if someone comes and requests NEPA. It's a different form of planning. And this is predominantly, if I understood correctly, a NEPA, part of the NEPA effort to get this project going, which is required by the BOR through their process. So I hear what you're saying, and I concur with why the policy exists and how it works. But this is, I think, an anomaly. It's using the right words to make it a question mark, but it isn't necessarily in the same sense of general or master planning or anything else. This is NEPA, if I understand it. And we've not held NEPA to the same requirement that I can remember. I could be wrong.
I'd love to clarify that in our policy.
Maybe that would be wise.
When we get together to, like, you know, let's be clear on it
and,
so that we understand.
And debate it. That's my perspective, at least. And the other thing is, I think before we say no, either kick it down the road or not, is maybe give them the opportunity to see if they can compartmentalize it for less of an ask per time with some assurance that they're in the program, but Candace doesn't have to hold out the whole $4 million. If there's a way for them to do that, maybe that would be, I don't feel like kicking the can down the road, but in partnering or in a collegial manner, work with the district. Am I saying to work with the district and let them go back and relook at their, what kind of things they can do, and maybe come back with some other options, maybe even to the extent of putting them on the pending list, and then let them come back with some other options. I'm throwing that to the board for discussion, not necessarily. I would promote that certainly, but I'd like to hear other thoughts.
Mr. Taylor and then Mayor Baker.
Yeah, you mentioned you're going to pull water out of the Green River and eventually out of the, when it goes to the Colorado. Do you have that water right?
Yes, currently the water right is held by the Bureau of Reclamation and has been since the time that the Jensen unit was authorized. And so it's in their name. They've been submitting updates to their 40-year plan with the state of Utah for the purpose of constructing this pumping plant. And so, yes, it is currently there, ready for our use.
Okay.
Mayor Baker.
Okay. I have a question for them. Is there, I know you're asking $4 million. Would you take $2 million to get started? I don't want to hold this up because we just can't do it. I think if we could give them $2 million and then come back in 6 months or whatever it is and ask for the other $2 million, hopefully we build up enough we can do.
Or they'll know what they're.
Well, they'll know where they're headed anyhow. Yeah. I'm asking, can you start with $2 million with the idea of coming back for the other $2
million? Yeah, these conversations have been taking place. I've been thinking about how we might sub-phase the phase one. And the important thing to us is to maintain the momentum that we have currently and get to the point where we can initiate the NEPA process. we anticipate that that's going to be a multi-year effort. And so if the funding is available to help us get through all this question period and answer period to get to the NEPA and get that underway, of course, you know, to Jack's point, with some sort of certainty that once that NEPA process is initiated halfway through, we're not left scrambling, I guess might be the appropriate word.
Yeah, just a comment there. The only issue I would see there is we've got to shave off a little bit more from the grant side to be able to take care of all of our business today. But so just in terms of like our, you know, trying to get everyone taken care of. But what would that, for you to maintain momentum and not put you off so that you're, you know, just waiting, twiddling your thumbs, waiting on the feds to see what they're going to do. What would you need to keep up the momentum and continue?
So I know the way that we broke that out, we had, I believe there was $370,000 for that pre-phase. We used feasibility study as a placeholder as far as the term is concerned. Obviously, the feasibility portion of that has been satisfied by the Bureau of Reclamation back way back then in the history. But then the full NEPA, we anticipate being about a $2 million endeavor. And then there's a certain amount of, I believe you have to get to at least 30% design on your engineering in order to satisfy your purpose and need and get into the NEPA process. And so you have, I mean, I believe we have about 1.5 in pre-construction design engineering.
Yeah.
And so I'm just trying to tease out what might be most helpful in order to keep the ball rolling, go out and contract with the necessary consultants to get the work accomplished.
If we funded you at our median range, which, you know, our funding tool that breaks us down for us, the recommendation would be at $1.4 million in grant, $2.6 million in loan. It's at 30 years at 2.5%, but if you were able to take, you know, a larger proportion in loan, which is what is recommended, that helps us out a lot too, getting back to trying to get everyone taken care of. That's really my concern. It's just we've really had two projects on the agenda today that we really have to see some movement on the grant, that are heavy on grant, to make everything work, and this is one of them. So, you know, I mean, just for the board, I mean, if we steer off, you know, the recommendations, this is what's going to, on this one in particular, and one more, is going to put us in a major crunch. So if we have an applicant that's willing to work with us on it, I encourage us to try to work something out. Mayor Baker.
Well, for disclosure, I sit on that board on there, but I'd like to make a motion that we do the $2 million. I think they can move forward and come back or find more money maybe and help, but I hate to see this project just get stalled because it's not going to go anywhere unless we help them.
So your motion's for a $2 million grant?
$2 million grant.
Okay. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Seconded by Commissioner Miles. Discussion on the motion?
Well, I think, you know, it was mentioned by Commissioner Taylor about the Colorado River. I think right now Utah needs to protect its interests in the Colorado River. And to be able to utilize that water and finish the project when what was planned for, it's imperative that we do that. And so I think we need to give them a little bit of money to get it going. They are heavily bonded. I mean, you look at their payments, their annual debt service is $1.3 million. That's just their debt. It's not their operating costs. So, I mean, they're paying a lot in interest right now. And I think if we could help them out and we can discuss the terms of what it's going to take to get it to the finish line the next go around.
Good.
Yes,
that's okay.
So I'm trying to understand the scope of the project, first of all, because I know in Jensen there's already pumps in the river, right? They pumped out of it this year to provide the irrigation water there in Jensen. I know one pump went down, so I don't know if that's part of the project, to kind of replace that pump. But what is the difference I thought all of that was already worked out with the Central Utah Water Compact that allows them to do that and push the water shares back over west, right? So what is the scope of the project now that you're trying to take on that was not contemplated in that original compact? And what is the difference in the pumping station that you have planned versus the pumps that are already in the river?
No, that's a fair question. Thank you.
Yeah.
And there's a reason that I changed the name of the project because of that other pump station.
Yeah.
They call it the Burns Bench Pumping Station.
Yeah.
It has two small pumps that are in the river now with a total output capacity of 18 second feet. So that, the water right associated with that pumping facility now is owned by the Burns Bench Irrigation Company. Mm-hmm. Through the Brush Creek distribution system, those pumps are used to augment irrigation supplies into the Jensen area. Mm-hmm. The pumping plant that we're contemplating now is a replacement of irrigation water from Brush Creek in the Jensen area and having those Brush Creek rights held in Red Fleet for pumping over north of Vernal to our treatment facilities. And so there has been conversation because of where that smaller pump station sits today is an ideal location for the newer facility. Is there an opportunity to join the two together? It gets a little interesting because this is a part of a larger federal project, the project that we're contemplating today, and that is a wholly private pump station. And so they're using that to augment irrigation supplies. We're looking to replace irrigation supplies so that we can have increased M&I water supply in the entire river service area, if that helps.
I think so. So what you're saying is to take the additional water out of the, because you're saying it's going to replace more.
Correct.
Of the irrigation water now. That would cost $20 million. Like, I'm really having a hard time figuring out where you're coming up with that number.
We built a pumping facility near Pelican Lake back in 2010, well, 2009 through 2011, with a 10,000 acre foot capacity. And at the time, I believe we spent $12 million in order to do so.
Okay.
And so you can see the escalation in price. And where this is a facility that is ultimately supplying drinking water, we know that it's going to have redundancies put in place that make sure that if water is subscribed to on the M&I side, we cannot be down for any period of time. We have to have some contingencies in there to make sure that this facility is robust enough to meet those obligations, because we can't simply go to people and say, well, it's not working for a period of weeks, you're just going to have to do without. And so hence,
you're saying this could replace some of the culinary water?
It's going to augment the culinary water.
Okay.
Yep.
So then it has to be pumped all the way up to the treatment plant then?
Yeah, so we have there's a series of events that have to take place, and exchanges in the UN Basin with water it's crazy.
Yeah.
So water would be pulled out of the Green River
uh-huh.
and used for irrigation on the lands in Jensen. Brush Creek rights that are coming down from the drainage will be held in Red Fleet Reservoir. There is already a pumping station at the dam at Red Fleet.
Okay.
And there's a large aqueduct that pumps that water from Red Fleet north of Stanaker to the Central Utah Water Conservancy District treatment plant north of Vernal.
Uh-huh.
And all of those structures, when they were built back in the early 80s, contemplated this additional 12,000 acre feet being made available. So they're already sized to take care of it. It just had never been completed because the demand was not there. Now that the demand is present, we're seeking, you know, the new facility.
Okay. All right, final question. I know we need to get going, but what kind of procurement did you do for the services here? Because this is a lot of money, right? So, you know, following state procurement, I think, becomes critical to make sure that we have competitive bids and that, you know, I especially worry about that when you get money that comes so easily from CIV, is that, you know, the local officials don't do as much homework to ensure that the competitiveness of the contracts they're awarding is there. So can you explain the process you go through to make sure that you have competitive contracts on all of the work that's being performed?
Yeah, so on the construction side, we anticipate that that will be done with federally appropriated dollars through the Bureau of Reclamation. On the $4 million request that we're making today, we're obviously going to have to go out and procure engineering services to carry us through on that. And we have a very robust administrative code that follows state policy as far as our procurement is concerned.
So you will do an RFP and you'll solicit sure. multiple bids and
yes.
there isn't just an, I mean.
Yeah, we do have a pool of general engineering service contracts where we can, through task order, do smaller projects just by assignment to our engineering consultants. But a project of this nature falls outside of basic wisdom of doing it that way. And so we would follow a competitive process, whether we go out for statements of qualification and go from there, or if we go directly to an RFP, that's what we'll follow.
Mr. Bartholomew.
Two-part question here. Number one, where this is, as I understand it, you're going to combine this with an irrigation project. Is that allowed? We don't fund irrigation projects.
Is that part of our policy to not fund irrigation?
Or it might be that we own,
but this is not.
But it's not policy.
And I'm happy to speak, Mr. Chairman, to that if it's difficult.
Please.
So, yes, and we've thought about that because we've done a lot of irrigation projects as a district for which we have not come to CIB because of that concern and that understanding of your policy. This project, you know, the reason that we're approaching you today is that this is ultimately a drinking water. This is a drinking water project. It involves an irrigation component only so much that as the water exchange is concerned, and I told you all about the complexities of exchanges, but ultimately the customers of this pumping facility are those four main public water suppliers, municipalities, from municipal water suppliers in the Ashley Valley and Jensen areas of our service area. They will be the ones that will be directly contracting with the Water Conservancy District to receive the exchange water and put it to use for municipal and industrial purposes.
The second part of that is why is not Central Utah water funding this? I mean, evidently they have a lot of this other.
Yeah, so the Central Utah Water Conservancy District is, I call them Big Brother, and they're a good Big Brother to us and have been for a number of years. They're the regional water conservancy district, and we're more localized there in Uinta County. This, as a part of the Jensen unit, is a part of our responsibility as the Uinta Water Conservancy District. The Central Utah Water Conservancy District has the Bonneville unit of the same Central Utah project, which is vastly larger, you know, has a number of different reservoirs, pipelines, tunnels, transfers. But the two units that we operate were sister agencies in that way. And so it falls on us. It is our responsibility as the wholesale water supplier for our area to take on this project as a part of the Jensen.
Commissioner Adams and then Commissioner Lyle.
Yeah, in this description of the project, there's 9,188 residential connections. There's 771 commercial connections and 340 other connections. For 10,299 connections. The entire population of San Juan County, the biggest county in the state, is 15,000 people. This could qualify for, Ashley Valley could qualify to be another county. Anyway, I know you're exchanging water, irrigation water, so that you can have water for residents and commercial and anyway, that's my
Commissioner Lytle.
Just a clarification, I think. I need to be corrected if I'm wrong. In terms of the Central Utah part of it, none of this water is being transferred to the Wasatch Front, so that would create that line why they would not be particularly tied into your project also.
Yeah, that's correct. So the only way that the Central Utah Water Conservancy District will, quote-unquote, touch this water is that they operate the treatment facility that will receive the water, treat it, and then it will be delivered to our customers downstream.
Sure.
And so, yeah, there's no anticipation of any of this water being exported outside of our service area.
Mayor Baker. Okay, I also said on Ashley Valley Water and Sewer, which is geographically the biggest culinary in the Ashley Valley, but we put a moratorium on new construction because we do not have the water for the growth that we'd like to see come into the valley. So it's nip and tuck right now. And so we've kind of put on a limit on connections and we're trying, just to do whatever we can to meet demand of growth when it does come. And the only real growth that we're going to get is either through this or taking water from the irrigators, which they don't want us to do, and I understand that.
Food.
So, huh?
That's food.
That's true.
Yeah. So, we've got a motion on the floor to fund you the $2 million grant. My question for you is, would you be open if we funded you at a $1.5 million grant and then the rest in loan at a low interest rate, and you'd have the whole $4 million and you'd be on your way? Would you be open to that?
I think we would certainly be open. I wish I could speak directly to it. I just didn't have the foresight to come with contingencies that had already been approved by my board of trustees.
Yeah.
Luckily, we have a meeting next week on Tuesday where I can take all of the information from this meeting and present it to them and then hopefully be better prepared at your funding meeting. But, in order to speak to that, I would need to get their buy-in.
That would be a way to help us out a little bit more, but then you're on your way with the $4 million. I mean, obviously it's an important project, but as opposed to just kicking the can on the remaining $2 million, the median range recommends a 2.5% interest rate, but that can be adjusted as well. So,
yeah.
Anyway,
are you saying you'd go for the full four?
Yeah, so I
would do the full four because.
But at the median.
If this is going to be a multi-year process,
yeah.
In some ways, it would be better to retain some of that rather than tying it up in an account that isn't going to be used for several years, and then have them come back at a later time for the rest, if that makes sense. And
yeah.
So I don't know. I think I'd be more inclined to just give them the $2 million now, and that way, from a cash flow perspective, we're still better off.
Yeah, but so. It doesn't address our short-term crunch on the grant column. That's another half a million.
It takes how much
to
grant?
$2 million.
Well, but I guess what I'm saying is, what I'm suggesting or what the median suggestion is that would be an additional $600,000.
Well, maybe we just give them $1.5 million in grant and have them do $500,000 loan at
that was my
0.5% or something.
That was
then you're only paying up $2 million.
That was my initial question: is how much in grant gets them going?
Yeah. Okay. Well. Okay.
Could we have a call on my motion? Did we get a second?
Yes.
I'll call the motion when we're done discussing, Mayor Baker. Thank you.
So.
Yes, sir.
Comment to that. I understand what you're saying in terms of trying. My motivation in asking them to go back, and maybe it is if we were to go with the $2 million as it is, as a straight grant,
mm-hmm.
or if I couldn't tell if you were proposing an amendment or a substitute motion or not in terms of order. Even putting them on the pending for the $2 million and come back for the next meeting. I don't know where you are shovel ready as far as, because the funding won't be till October, correct?
Yeah.
So
Which is also when we're supposed to hear back potentially on the federal funds as well.
Well, I'm about supposed to. The only thing constant about Congress is it is inconsistent.
And slow.
But in order to get them in a space where they can go back to their board with something in their hand to work with and come up with some contingencies that may look different than what they've asked for, I guess I want to get them on the pending list.
Yeah.
Right?
And
the question is in what form? And I'm very comfortable in the form it is if they go back with a contingency that they go back and figure out what they can really do knowing our situation. Yeah. At $2 million, they've asked for straight grant, right?
Yeah.
So that we've saved $2 million to work with out of this one. I hesitate to say it should all come, or the biggest part should come from them, but I'd like to get them able to have that next week to have a good discussion on what they can make work.
I just want to add a couple comments because I know the situation they're facing out there in the basin, that they're, you know, not offering any new connections to new residents isn't going to work well if you've got the basin railway coming in that's friggin' whatever, you know, 10,000 jobs or whatever. And so they're kind of facing a crunch where if they don't get in front of that, I think making space for some of that new growth in there is going to be very difficult. So I don't want to set them behind. Let's put it that way. I think they, you know, they're right to be trying to figure out how to bring more water into the valley, and I think this is probably a really good solution to do that. So I don't want to hamstring them from moving forward. You know, if we can get them started, I think that would probably be the best thing to do.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's trying to postpone the project.
No.
It's just a matter of how we get them started.
So the other thing I want to add that I don't know that I heard clearly is once they start construction, I think they are, with that federal money, they have to repay all of it.
That's correct.
So they're already in a loan situation on the next $20 million. So there's a lot of skin in the game. Ultimately, it's a long-term loan in essence that they're doing. I'm just in terms of looking at the totality of the project, we still have our needs and our issues to figure out how to spread this money out. But in terms of what they're bringing to us, I appreciate the forethought and the willingness to work with us to make it work.
The reduction in grant funding to $2 million does help us out quite a bit today. Absolutely.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
If they're going to borrow $20 million from the federal government and have to pay it back, what kind of an interest rate do you have to pay back?
That is a good question. The last major loan that we had with the federal government came in at 3.222.
So they'd be better off to borrow the money from us.
If we have it.
If we have it.
Yeah.
But if you're talking, you know, I know you threw it out there of $1.5 million in grant, $2.5 million in loan, maybe like a 0.5%. I don't know whether that's...
That's the option that I'm put out there, you know. But if they would rather just take the $2 million now in grant and come back and apply for more down the road, and that's what the board wants to do, then that's what we'll do. But we have a recommendation in front of us to take care of the full request, you know, at a decent interest rate. And like I said, we can lower the interest rate. We get a little hypersensitive to that, but you know, we do got to stay within the fairway on, you know, a lot of these things where we can.
So the option is then, Mr. Chair, is to take a $2 million grant or to do a $1.5 million grant with a $2.5 million. Low interest loan.
Approximately, yeah. The median recommends 2.5%, but you know, obviously the board can, we can adjust that if we want. But those are the two options. But either way, I mean, we want the project to move forward. But we do have a motion on the floor now, so unless we have a substitute motion, I'll call for the vote, which is for the $2 million grant motion made by Mayor Baker.
I'll make a substitute motion. I'll make a substitute motion that we do the full $4 million at 1.4 in grant, 2.6 in loan, but at a 1% interest rate.
I'll 1%?
One.
One. I'll second your motion.
Yeah. I'll third it.
Yeah, and that's the median was 2.5, so that's they're getting a break on the interest rate there, down by 1.5. Okay. Discussion on comments on this motion before we call for a vote. Okay, I'll call for a vote on the motion made by Ms. Hanson, seconded by Commissioner Adams. Commissioner Taylor, the motion made is for $1.4 million in grant, $2.6 million in loan, 30 years at 1%.
This is placed on the priority list for potential funding on October 7th or 2nd. You can take it back to the committee and discuss it, but it will receive final funding October 2nd. Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hanson?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
No.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
That motion passes with one against.
So, may I?
Yes.
It was difficult in the, I was tempted to do the no, but in the yes part of it, it is that they go back and see what they can do. If they can't make that work, are we in the position to, at the funding meeting or prior, have the discussions of what they can make work, or is that the end of the road? Is it a yes or no?
Good.
Pardon?
I think we can change it in October if needed. I mean,
that was the reason I said yes, was to give them something to chew on. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, then come back and work it out. Is my.
You can still do a no if you want.
No, I'm good. I want them to get funded, and I don't want to hold them up.
Yeah, I think.
And I'm not on any of their boards, so I don't have that issue.
Yeah, thank you. You're giving me a thumbs up, Jack, though.
That's my point.
No, we really appreciate the conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Okay, up next, item 4.3 is the Fruitland Special Service District for the Mill Hollow Water Treatment and Water Acquisition. Welcome.
Welcome.
The request is for $1.85 million in grant, $400,000 in loan, 30 years at 0%.
Hi there. I'm Judy. With me today is Jeff Baker. He's done a lot of the engineering for us on this project. We worked for months trying to get ECWAS funding for our project, which we were ultimately denied in the end, and that's why we come to CID. And we are so grateful and thankful that there are organizations out there like this one to help us in such a critical situation that we're in. As you all have probably read the application and know that we are in a critical situation where one of our major springs that provides a large source of water to our community has been deemed under the influence of drowned water was contaminated. So we are required by the Division of Drinking Water to treat that water before it can ever be turned back into our system. For the past two summers, we have had several families on this system that have had to cut way back, and we've asked folks to. The drought has been horrible, and it's gotten worse this past summer. So families have really had to conserve. We're asking for this funding as a partner with you. We want to be responsible. We want to be good stewards of the money that is granted to us. But we need to provide clean drinking water to our folks that are already there, customers. So we're asking for that. Bart Morrill here is a CPA that also sits on our board that is super helpful. We have a relatively new board. Most of us are new within a year or two of the board, so we're all looking forward and trying to do the best that we can for our customers. So I'm here speaking for not only Ruben Water, but family, friends, and most of all, my community. So we are, as part of this, a funding that we're asking for is also for water rights. We are out of water connections as of right now. And as the growth starts to move from the Wasatch Front, they're calling almost daily in regards to water connections in the Fruitland area, where we've had to be really, really careful with what we sell, and we're trying to be super responsible with the growth that's coming to our area. We know they're coming. So this new water could really help us for decades that we're in the process of trying to acquire. So, yeah, that's what we have.
Thank you. You've requested the majority of it in grant with 0% interest on the $400,000. Your board has expressed willingness to accept modified terms if necessary. The minimum suggestion for you would be slightly less in grant, $1,575,000, and a little bit more in loan at $675,000 at 0.5%.
You know, we really, really, really appreciate your tool, and I'd ask that you just revisit that and just look at the totals one more time. We have we have done our due diligence of having Rural Water come and do an analysis on our rates, and we did recently up our rates to $60 a month, which is a lot higher than most culinary water systems in the state, and we have a pretty heavy burden with loans right now, outstanding loans. We do have some money in reserves, but we want to be smart with those reserves and be able to, you know, add to those reserves rather than paying all of our funds out in loans.
So it sounds like your board is not willing to
accept modified. We are willing. We're just so thankful and grateful that there is funding out there.
Yeah.
Can help us.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
You talk about people moving from the Wasatch Front out there and can't get a connection. What happens if they own property out there right now and want to build? What do they do? What do they do for water?
Well, we've had several folks come to us where we've had to make sure that if the infrastructure is in the area where they plan to build, lots of our infrastructure is sparse and not in some of the areas, and Jeff can speak to that. Our infrastructure is older. It's coming up on 30 years old. A lot of that does need to be replaced. So we're being very careful. We want responsible growth out there. Lots of folks are drilling wells.
That was my point, and that
right.
Concerns me that they come out and live in your area, but they're not contributing to the infrastructure, whatever. They drill their own well.
Right.
They're taking water rights from that area that the community could be using. So that would be one of my concerns.
Thank you. Okay, Commissioner Adams has a comment.
So you say you have 595 connections, and about 90 of those have only one source. Talk a little bit about what the other sources are for those 500 connections.
I think that would be referring to the irrigation, right?
Yes,
yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if we showed. So Fruitland has three springs. One of them is the Little Red Creek spring, and it serves, it's further west and can serve the majority of the system. The 90 connections are on the, there's two springs up Mill Hollow Canyon, and those 90 connections can only be served by those springs. And that one of those springs is the one that has, that is under surface water influence. So that's the separation. They also have a well that's down in the valley, but it is not really capable of serving, I mean, I don't know the number, but not many of their connections, because most of the connections are up on the kind of foothills in the valley. Yeah, Bandana Ranch.
Treasurer Slaw.
So I guess my question is, this seems like a perfect project for Division of Drinking Water. Have you approached Division of Drinking Water for some of these funds and loans?
We have. We have. And also, they worked on that for months and months with us. And, yeah, we go, the terms were a lot higher.
So you were awarded a grant that you didn't accept?
No, we were not. We were turned down by a class.
Yeah, so the ECWAG is federal funding, and it's for emergency. And we were at first told that this would qualify, and so the district actually went through and had to do basically all the environmental. Now, it was a streamlined form of it, and I can't remember how much that cost, like $20,000. And then at the end, ultimately, they were rejected. We did approach drinking water without a formal application, but called staff, and we're told that the maximum in grant that they could possibly get was 30%. But historically, Fruitland has not been awarded any grants from drinking water based on, I think, Magi mostly.
So you could get a loan from drinking water, but you just,
yes.
But you feel like you need grant, and so that's why you're here at the CIV. Is that accurate?
Yes, that would be pretty helpful.
Okay. So if we gave you a portion of the grant, could you go back and get the other portion from drinking water?
I don't know.
I'm sure.
It is a timing issue. We've had folks on a, you know, a shortage, or this is the almost second year. We redeveloped the screen 2 years ago, hoping to supply more water to that area, and then in the spring on heavy runoff when we tested the water is when it was deemed unsafe. We've already spent a lot of money on the redevelopment too, where it's just running down the canyon right now.
Commissioner Miles.
Yeah, I think the situation is a little more dire than Judy lets on. For a time, this district had a moratorium. And so new homes that were being built, and these aren't necessarily Wasatch Front people, Jerry, so give me a little latitude on this one. But they were having to haul their water. I sit on a neighboring water district, the Pinyon Forest Board, which only has a fill station because of the challenging landscape issues and availability of water. We have a very limited supply, especially on the western side of Duchesne County. And as you can tell, I mean, their rates are pretty high compared to a lot of other water entities in the state. They're not rich people. These are individuals who are low to moderate income. And so we desperately need to help them out.
What are you suggesting? What do you want to do?
Well, I would love to see us give it to them at what they've requested, but if the board feels that we need to stay in the green, then we'll do that. But I feel like if we can help them out, it'll help out that entire western side of Duchesne County.
And the exemption that you would apply to it would be
financial hardship.
Yeah, they do have like a debt service that they do have a, you know, giving any out on loan with interest would create some more pressure for them, for sure.
Not your turn. Go ahead.
Commissioner Winfield.
I'd make that motion that Mr. Miles is suggesting.
Okay.
As requested? As requested, yes, sir.
Okay.
With an exemption?
Yeah,
with an exemption. Hardship.
Financial hardship.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Second comment?
Yeah, just a comment. I just plugged into an amortization calculator just out of curiosity if we did a 0.5% interest payment on the loan versus grant as requested, and it's about $14,000 monthly payment.
Yearly.
Yearly. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, sir. sorry.
Get in there and drink the water.
So
I would be in favor of that because
a heart pill.
Yeah, so that doesn't feel like a huge addition, and it feels, I mean, that would give us a little bit of interest payment that I think in order to get into the bonus fund, it has to have interest applied. So even if it's a part loan but with 0%, that doesn't really help our bottom line.
Right. That comes out of, that has to come out of Mineral Lease just like the
correct.
Grant does.
Correct.
And so that doesn't solve our
with a half a percent it gets us into the bonus. Yeah.
Right.
And you're suggesting that half a percent on as they've requested, just moving from 0 up to a half a percent.
Correct. Which still requires an exception.
Sure.
But it helps us out a little bit, and I think it's not a humongous ask.
Are you adjusting your motion?
I would amend or adjust my motion if that works for those folks.
No, I concur.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor to fund as requested with half a point on the $400,000 in loan. Additional discussion on the motion. And this would still require a financial hardship exemption.
Mm-hmm.
I'll call for a vote, please.
This project will be placed on the priority list for potential funding October 2nd. Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Aye.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you so much.
Okay, up next we have the Neola Water and Sewer District. The project is well in distribution improvements for 2025. Welcome. The request is for $3,261,000 in grant, $362,000 in loan for 30 years at 1%. This is outside the range. Welcome.
Good morning. I'm Brian, chairman, not the chairman, I'm the operator. This is Raleigh. She takes care of our books, and our engineer, Jeff. So we have a spring that feeds our system, and as you've heard already, today is a drought, killing everybody that has a spring. We've already reached capacity. We've actually, water runs in the tank, across the bottom and off the bottom, and we've cut people back. We've shut the church off. We've shut the school off. We've shut people off as the buildings and the facilities are not being used. Then we'll turn it on for church or turn it on to water the grass for a minute or whatever they need. So we're desperate for some help to get our water system. We've been planning that we need a new well. We have a well already. It's not culinary standard anymore, so we'll have to go in and we'll have to upgrade that, get it culinary standard. So we've done just about everything we can do to be able to provide our small system. We're blocked in. We can't grow much. We've already turned down. We're on a moratorium for connection. We've already turned down 7 people this year, and we already owe people nearly 20, maybe a little over 20 connections that people bought in the past. So right now we're just looking for some help to try to solve our situation.
Thank you. Questions for the applicant? About $700,000, a little heavy into the grant column from loan, but they did offer to pay the 1% interest, which is higher than the minimum recommendation. I would just suggest if we have the ability to get less grant and more loan, that really helps us out.
So kind of on that note, would you be willing, if we went to the tool minimum, that gives you a little over $1 million in loan, but we could actually bump the rate down to 0.5% interest. That helps us out and saves you a little bit on the rate, although you're taking on a little bit more in in loan amount. Is that something that would work?
Well, that's about double what we have left over at the year just then. We have $20,000 that our board, that we feel like we have to spend. And we've also went to DDW looking, so we have to take that $20,000 a year that we have and add that to DDW to see, to help, because we've asked them for money for this as well, part of this as well. So.
What part?
The funding for the design. And we met with them last week, and we pulled all the way up there from the pool. Table your motion and let's see what CIB does for you, and then come talk to us. So.
We can table and send you back if you'd like.
Here's the thing: is everybody that runs these districts are busy, so I take a day off of work, run us there, get tabled in 5 minutes, and you know, it's like it's frustrating. But I mean, if you think you need to table us, then we'll just keep the people on a minimum amount of water. Do what we got to do to get something in the tank. So.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
So does this request, does it include the DW or DDW request?
We did include it in the application, pointing out that we were going to DDW for the design. But what's being asked in this request does not include that.
So you need both.
We would need both.
How much is that design that you're asking?
$227,000.
Okay.
So if we give you the money, then they will give you the money? Is that what you're hearing?
After going to their meeting last week, it seemed like we're not getting the grant. It seemed like everybody that got what they wanted was the loan, and we have literally $20,000 that we have to spend.
A year,
but after what we put in the account, you know, we already have $108,000
payment and a $14,000 a year payment. So we are matched pretty well on our payments for our district. We have raised our rates within the last 7 years. We've doubled them. Our tier rate is huge. We have a tier rate. The more water you use, the more it costs you. And largely based on our Magi, which we're in the same situation as Fruitland. Most of the people in Neola are just, I don't want to say low income, but they're more moderate to low income. We have a few people that make our Magi jump, and that's very few. And so we have people conserving on water, and there are a few people that are not conserving on water that are using up the majority of the water. Our school, our church, and we have several people that obviously are above the Magi that are using.
Because they're willing to pay,
and some of these, there are three water users that pay $3,000 a month because they want to use 500,000 gallons of water. And we have asked and continually asked, please stop using so much water, and they just will not. So they run our tank dry for just the common people.
You could always make that last tier very punitive.
Yes, and
maybe if they're paying $10,000 a month, maybe they'd stop.
They don't. I have three people that will just write me a $10,000 check a month. Three consumers, and they're fine with it.
Well, and the problem right now with what we have going on, and we've cut everyone back. You cut everybody back on use your water. What does that do? That cuts into your bottom line. So right now we're making half as much money as we should be because we've got everyone cut back as much as we possibly can to try to keep water in the tank. We've actually had five families completely out of water that we if we don't have 3 feet in our tank, they don't get no water. So it's just we've been planning for this well. We just didn't expect it to dog on for this year.
Yeah, so you requested $362,000 in loan, but at 1%. So our minimum recommendation, it triples the loan amount, but it takes the burden off of us in the grant column, but it reduces the rate to 5%. So, if you're capable of making the debt service at $362,000 at 1%, then $1,087,000 at a half a point, it shouldn't be a huge shift, I wouldn't think. Commissioner Winfield?
Yeah, I've got one question. In your description here, you have subsurface investigation. Is that because you feel you've got some losses, or what is that referencing? Are there water losses that maybe aren't being accounted for?
Well, I'm sure there probably are, but the way my meter reads and the way I look at it is there's 150 gallons a minute going in the tank, and there's 170 going out. So I don't know that there's a lot of loss. I can't prove that. I've looked for leaks. We've never found any, but I'm not saying there's not. So I'm not saying we have a lot of water loss. But, she keeps on people who have, she's got so good at it that she can tell people if they've got a leaky toilet. She writes it on their bill. I think you have a leaky toilet, you know. So I'm not sure that we have a huge water loss.
But wouldn't your meters... Wouldn't you be able to have your Scadia system or something that would show the water that's coming out of the tank and the total at all of your meters to have some idea? Every system has some loss. There's no way around it.
And we've done that study a few times, and it seems pretty close. We finally have all of our meters replaced. They're 100% new now because there at some point some meters are 10% off or 5% off or, some... say they're using 2,000 when we put them in a new meter and they're actually using 5,000. So, we've got that. We've solved that problem. So I just don't think we have a ton of water loss, but I'm sure we do have some, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, and I was just curious because of the verbiage.
The subsurface investigation would be more for, they have a really old system. That's what this would be replacing.
Okay.
And so it's kind of over there is the gist of it, so that's what it'd be investigating.
How old is
media? I think most of the blocks in the
70s. Up in the blocks, yeah. It was before the 70s. I'm going to say the stuff in the blocks that we know for sure is over 50 years old.
You've seen the blocks.
Up around the store, yeah, the original part of our system. The information that we can find on it shows the 60s is when they changed from the tank in town that they used to the new tank and spring that we use now. So the original part has got to be before that. But there's not a lot of information we can come up with to find. So it's reasonably old. And that's the same portion of our area that has the lead use nets that we're working on trying to get that portion taken care of, which it's maybe a half mile by half a mile lady in this first. Four or five blocks up there that we'll have to in the blue on the map to get compliant, yeah, to know. So we've already been working on the lead and copper to get rid of the lead goosenecks because we know we have a few of them in that area.
I know, based on having lived up there, what's the relationship with those without seeing and how you guys share and move water back and forth or don't? Or at one time that was something that happened?
They told us a while back that on the last city, it was a different person running the city. They told us they were shutting us off and we can't use it. We need to find our own source if we need, because we had them for a backup, for emergency backup. I'm actually meeting with them Tuesday to see if we can't work something out that's reasonable for us. But they just flat told us, you guys are, if we need to shut you off, you're shut off. And we need to have two... to be state compliant. They want you to have a backup system, and we figure our well would solve that problem. But we've tried to work with Roosevelt, but we ended up replacing 3 miles of pipeline going south and probably 4 miles going east that was strictly Roosevelt, because this has been a few years ago, the last big bunch of money we got from you guys. So we could be self-sufficient, not have to rely on Roosevelt saying, hey, we're shutting you off today. You can't use water out of this lake today. So they've threatened us before to shut us off and be done. And now, obviously, it's their system and their customers come first. I understand that. So.
About a motion.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Before I make that motion, could we see what the difference in the payments would be?
They're pretty significant.
While you're doing that, I don't think 50 years old is that really that old.
I resemble that. Yeah,
the difference in the payment from what they've requested in loan amount at 1% versus the minimum was like $20,000 a year.
Okay. I'll make a motion then.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to grant as requested. And the reason I do that is because I understand where you're at. This water, drinking water, is very critical throughout the state right now. Mm-hmm. With the drought that we're in, we've had 0.8 one hundredths of rain is all this year where I live, and everything is dried up. Springs are drying up, lawns are gone. Trees are going, you know, I understand. We've got moratoriums all over. We're all in that same boat.
Yeah.
We need to do these water projects.
Okay, motion to place on the priority list as requested.
I'll second.
Seconded by Commissioner Winfield.
With a financial hardship.
With a financial hardship exemption. Call for a roll call vote, please.
This project will be placed on the priority list for potential funding October 2nd as requested. Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yep.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Aye.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Winville?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Anybody need a bathroom break?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a 10-minute recess. Use the restroom. Thank you.
And Wells is going to rattle the gavel.
Yeah.
Is that for just the people over 50?
Yeah.
The old water pipes.
The old water
pipes. That's all of us.
You let us in the room.
We're recording. We're good. No Okay, welcome back. We'll reopen the meeting once Bruce is done having his conversation.
Yeah, I was waiting for you.
Yeah, I'm holding it up. At 10:47, welcome Wellington City, who is here for their administration and public safety building project. They've requested $6 million in grant, $1.15 million in loans, 30 years at 1%, which is out of range. Not on interest, but on the grant loan portion. Welcome. Please introduce yourself and tell us about your project.
I'm Barney Zost, councilman. Got Brian Thane, who is also city council, and Rebecca Evans, who's our recorder.
Welcome.
And hopefully can speak. Oh, and Wyatt Hansen, Jones and DeMille Engineering, that you're probably going to be hearing a lot from them, it sounds like. Our project. You can see it up on the board. Hoping that we're catching you at a weak moment with the blood draining from your heads to your stomach to digest what you just ate. We realize we have a big ask. I'm going to plead to the emergency as well. Not good. Hardship. You've seen from our packet, we have a building that's falling down around us. The school did us no favor years ago giving us this building. We enjoyed it for a number of years, but it is literally falling down. We have moved the police department into another area of the building that's not leaking. Not good when water falls on computer systems and SCADA and everything else that's critical to that infrastructure. Fire department's holding up. That's probably the newest part of the building that sits in the middle. We're looking to demolish the old school to the right and to the left. We have nurses along. The boiler system finally gave out. We have put money into to the roof. We've had it looked at and to the tune of another $60,000, not necessarily guaranteed, to try to stop. We were spending upwards of $6,000 a month just in gas alone to heat the building. We have shut that off. We did a feasibility study to try to see what can we rehab, what can we keep. That also brought to light other conditions in the building, mold, asbestos, et cetera, that you would expect in that kind of a building in that kind of condition. We have sealed off the majority of that building as best we can for air quality. We did an air quality study as well. Not good. Several of our staff, as well as council, have exhibited health issues because of it. We put air purifiers in the remaining parts of the building that we occupy. We took a substantial hit back in 2012 when they changed the tax basis for coal mining, manufacturing, and other outfits that literally wiped out over half of our city budget, nearly bankrupting us. The mayor at that time fought very hard and was able to get a reprieve for a short while. We have struggled, as many of you have, through 2020 and the projects that we've had with our water and sewer. We've accomplished a big task of taking on the more critical parts. There's still more to go, but we only did what we could. We've raised our rates. We're just finishing up our, what do you call it, truth in taxation, to raise taxes. We feel we're at a point where we're almost stable. And this building isn't lasting. It, regardless of what happens, I apologize. Regardless of what happens in this meeting, we're moving out. We were able to purchase a double-wide trailer from Head Start, who used to operate out of the side of the building that is now done. But they had that out there. We were able to purchase that at a pretty decent price. Donated labor for the last month. To rehab that into minimal office space. We will leave the police department where they're at, but we just got word a couple of weeks ago that that roof with the last rains is also leaking, so we've got to find them another home. Probably when the office vacates, we'll move them over there. This building will occupy the fire department, the police department, and administrative staff, preserving and public works. We'll hang on to the fire department as it sits, use part of the old building and rehab that to bring us up to standard. Right now we're below. We need a ladder truck. That's going to be down the road. And that's that upper portion, the upper left-hand screen, for pull-through, because we do have buildings that exceed what our trucks can currently service. So a ladder truck will go on one side. We have industry that's looking to move into the county just above us. It may require a foam truck. We currently have no more space in the fire department, and we do not have any pull-throughs at this time. And so depending on the emergency that's called for, there's a jockeying of vehicles, which delays our response time. The building has been broken into many times. It's an attractive nuisance. I mean, it's just it's vacant. It's open for that kind of stuff. We have sensitive information in there, as well as the police department. So we'll be moving some of that stuff into some cargo containers as necessary, what won't fit into that office. So we're looking for a big ask. We're asking for six. We're putting in one. We've already spent money on the feasibility study, the air quality. We have exhausted all efforts to try to preserve what we can. So we're at your mercy.
Yeah, thank you. And believe me, we want to help you out and understand the importance. First question I have is, so our minimum recommendation would just put you at receiving a little over 3.5 in grant. Would you be able to do like $4 million in grant and $3,150,000 in loan at that 1%?
I don't.
I'm going to say it flat out, no. We, looking at, we can make an annual payment of $45,000 a year. What does that put us at? Divide that up how you can. At 1.1?
The 30-year loan is 1.1.
Oh.
So we could reduce the interest to half a point.
And how does that help? I know it helps, but I mean...
Yeah.
I'm not a human calculator.
Hold on one second. I'm working with my lender here. Hold on. I've got to go out back and talk to my manager.
I know it's not. Leave your keys here. I don't know where.
You're supposed to drop your pen.
She's your intern.
So
now I know why she's sitting next to him.
I am, yeah, well, this was, I feel like I'm sitting next to the principal here. But I do have this handy amortization calculator, which I don't know why I've been using in the, or haven't been using in these meetings from the beginning. But if you went to the minimum recommended grant versus loan and dropped the interest rate to 0.5%, the annual payment would be about $127,000 a year. And what you guys requested would be
44
a year. So that's a pretty significant jump.
Well, and am I reading this wrong, or do they really have a negative $3.4 million debt capacity? So they're already in over their head, $3.4
million? That's why we're did a tax increase.
So that raises a question for me in terms of the sources. Is this all coming from property tax, or how are you mixing and matching your money, especially with your tax? Did you approve your tax increase?
It's going to be approved at the next council meeting. But
well, be careful how you say that. You anticipate it.
So hopefully it gets approved. But the tax increase is basically just going to help us keep the lights on and services running. We really...
How are you meeting your debt, or when do you get back to the black?
So right now, we're pulling a lot from the PTM we're getting to get by every month, and that's also going towards our loan. We just took on the water, a water sewer and an irrigation project, and so that's why the debt is so extreme right now.
Well, you have to, because you'll be repaid at some point.
But you're... Sorry if I could piggyback on that question. So your revenue from those sources is paying back those bonds. Thank you.
How much do you have in your PPIF account?
It's about, I would say, right now, $2.5 million, but we're dipping into it probably $75,000 every month. Not a lot.
And your annual budget is what?
Right now.
$317,000.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
The question I have is, could you phase this?
I'm sorry?
Could you phase this project?
Well, we did the feasibility study. It came back with all kinds of recommendations. It started out at $14 million, and we said, that's not happening. We have scaled it back to the $7 million mark. Can it be phased? We can stay in the double wide. You can say no to everything, and we will survive, and we will find ways to make it. So we could probably eliminate the fire department across the back when that comes. I don't know how much that's going to knock off on the bill. We could even knock off not doing anything, bringing the fire department up the code, and just continue to do what we're doing. We
answer, I know we answer the majority of the county calls. We take everything all the way down to Green River as far as brush and that kind of stuff, besides the other municipalities that we help. So yeah, anything can be faced. We're trying to, we want to, one building's easier than several. Obviously,
yeah.
In my experience, set up and take down, there's a cost there. We could just do the administrative side. You could give us the money just to tear the building down, and then we'll come back again later and try to do the whole ball of wax to the right, and then come back again later and do the stuff at the top. So,
just real quick, and then Commissioner Adams.
Can I follow up with that first? So you know, you on there, and you showed the picture there that you're going to put a fire bay on the back.
Uh-huh.
You said that you was going to hopefully purchase a new ladder truck.
Yes. That's down the road.
Yeah, because that's at least $1.2 million unequipped.
Right.
And so that's why I was wondering, could you, like, put that on at a later date? Design it into it, but just put that on at a later date?
Yes.
That's what I was asking. Okay.
Just food for thought, if we just shifted $1 million over from the grant side to the loan side and dropped the interest to a half a point, so it'd be $5 million in grant, 2.15 in loan, that annual debt service would be about $66,000. So that's $22,000 over the $44,000 that you're planning now. What do you think about that?
I think that seems like a much more ideal option than the one that was provided before. So that would have to take that to the top
of the okay.
Sure
yeah,
would that put them inside the tool?
No.
We're way outside the tool.
No, but it helps us out a lot on our grant side, and it does reduce the interest rate by half a point for them, which is outside of cool. It gets them closer to that minimum, but we're still out. Commissioner Adams.
Well, settle in. I've got a long thought. You got a community here that is passionate about where they live. I don't know the background of why they live where they live. I don't know that about hardly any community except mine. They come from a county that used to be number two or three producing county when coal is what it should be today. And that county's contributed a tremendous amount of money to the CIB funding. I'm not comfortable as a member of this board asking this community to move into a double wide trailer. I'm not comfortable in asking my wife to move into a double wide trailer. I feel their pain. I want to help them. I just think, you know, I travel through Wellington every time I come to Salt Lake City. I'd like to ask the mayor if he'd give me a get out of jail free card for my wife, because she's the one that's driving. No. But anyway,
that's not a bribe.
I just got to help them all we can. Curtis, if you feel like we could give them $5 million in a grant or even more than that, I'm more than willing to make a motion and see where it goes. Where is Carbon County now, Candace?
Right up there, it's number five.
It's number five?
The CID awards versus revenue, been okay.
We have growth coming. We've got a development of 100 homes that just is in the process of annexing the rest of their property, and we've got another outfit that just moved in with our city limits that's developing carbon fiber. So we're in a forward trajectory, which we're excited about, which is obviously going to bring some revenue down the road.
Okay.
What did you say, Kurt, loan-wise, you were thinking about $2 million or
$5,000, 2.15 loan at a half a point seems to work for them, and that would help us out if the board
okay.
wants to proceed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to help them out a little bit more. I'm going to propose $5.15 million grant and $2 million loan. At what percent?
Half a point.
Half a point.
For,
that's my motion.
Okay, and with a financial hardship.
Yes, exemption. Financial hardship for sure.
I'll second.
Okay. Motion made by Commissioner Adams to place the project on the priority list with a $5.15 million in grant, $2 million in loan, 30 years at a half a point with a financial hardship exemption, seconded by Commissioner Taylor. Discussion?
Yes.
I just have one suggestion for you guys. There are some grants that are available through the Department of Public Safety and the Federal Emergency Management Administration or Administration that help with fire prevention. And so if you go to, this is going to be a little tricky to navigate, but if you go to gopb.utah.gov, and then under planning coordination, and then on the planning coordination menu, you'll find funding resources. And that will pull up a big grant opportunities portal that has links to those other grant opportunities. So take a look at those.
Cool. We'll take Annie's suggestion.
Yeah. So, Curtis, that was going to be my question. So have you not looked at any other, like, federal funding sources for something like this? Because I know it needs to be done, and we want to make sure that it gets done and help you out. But, you know, unlike other loan programs, I feel like CIB should be kind of your last stop because we're a little bit more flexible than some of these other programs, and we realize that. But it helps us out if you've gone to some of these other federal or state programs first, so that we know that we are truly your last butt stop here.
I can't speak to which ones, but I know we have. And I'll need help on that one.
So we're looking at the CDBG grant. The amount of funding that's needed for this project is $200,000 and the federal requirements.
You shouldn't be so quick.
Commissioner Winfield.
Don't talk yourself out of the money.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have considered it. We're looking at it in Grand County, but there's a 0.30 sales tax for public safety that can be implemented with strictly a vote at the commission level. It doesn't have to go before for a vote for the public. Currently, there aren't any political figures in my county that want to do that because of other taxes that have been raised recently, but it's a 0.30. It was presented to us, and that gives you a revenue stream. Grand County sees a lot of our sales tax paid for by visitors. It might be different to where you're at, but it is an option, and I could find more information for you later if you are interested in that.
Bill, would that affect every community in the county then if it was done at the county level?
Possibly. I don't know enough about it. So that is something.
It would be countywide. It's a countywide sales tax.
It is.
I think it's time sensitive.
It is time sensitive. It's going to go away, it sounds like.
You got to get on it.
So we've got a motion on the floor for $5.15 million in grant, $2 million in loan at half a point. Any more discussion on the motion?
One question. Do you have a contract with Carbon County then? For the unincorporated county that you cover, your fire department?
Yes.
So it's through MOU or MOR.
I'm not up on my acronyms. What?
We have
a memorandum of understanding.
Or a mutual aid agreement.
Yes.
And I would just make the comment that, you know, I agree wholeheartedly with with what Commissioner Adams said. This is a community that's had the rug pulled out from under them. And, you know, out of all of the lending and funding agencies, this one ought to be helping them out.
Yeah, well said. Okay, I'll call for a roll call vote, please, on the motion.
Could you restate the motion?
Motion is 5.15 million in grant, 2 million in loan for 30 years at a half a point with a financial hardship exemption.
Thank you.
You bet.
This project is on the priority list for possible funding October 2nd. Treasurer Flaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes, and I gas up and buy snacks at Miller's every time I'm on the road, so I'm helping your tax kids.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, up next, item 4.6 is an application from Farron City for a agricultural center. Some of you know the old one burnt down. The request is for $3 million in grants. And welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I guess I'll just go ahead and get started. My name is Trent Jackson. I'm the mayor of Farron City. I got my council member, Larry Morgan, here with me. He's over the fairgrounds. Been kind of over this project since it burned down. And then, of course, we got Wyatt Hansen here, and I don't know if he's emotional supporter or a bouncer. But we brought him with us because he's been a tremendous help in this process. Just first of all, I'd like to say Farron City has been a recipient of CIB funds before, and so we're very thankful for that. And sitting here today, I've been part of the city council down there in Farron for a while, and this is my first CIB meeting. It's very humbling, and to sit here and listen to the things that come before you guys, so appreciate your help. So as Mr. Wells said, our barn that has been housing the Southeastern Junior Livestock Show since 1939 was burned down June of 2024. It was in juveniles playing with matches in there, caught fire and burned it down. It's been deemed a total loss by the insurance. So we're looking here today asking for money, the $3 million grant. We're looking at bringing in $3 million as well, so we do have major skin in the game. I was hoping to have a solid numbers from the insurance that we were going to see from them, but I'm still, believe it or not, battling the insurance on giving that final number and setting that in concrete stone. So unfortunately, I don't have that view, but this building, we're moving forward with it. We're shovel ready. Our meta building bids have been sent out to bid already. We're looking to get going on this. We have clear project timelines. Many people in the morning after it burned down, we had a lot of people come in, you know, just crying. I mean, ladies at our meetings, they have grandkids, and they lived at the stock show on their grandkids. And so we deem this a very important project to get done, and so that's why we're here asking for that. We do have, like I said, bringing $3 million to the table. And all that, as far as searching other funding sources, we have looked at UORG. We didn't qualify for UORG. We were unsuccessful in getting a legislative appropriation in the January legislation. So that kind of took a lot of wind out of our sails, but we went back to the drawing board, and now we're here sitting for you. So I'll let Council Member Morgan speak a little bit.
So like you said, that stock show started 1939, and last year we had the stock show. Well, we had two different ones. We have a carbon emery only stock show, kind of like kids can prepare their animals for a much larger for the state fair. Last year we had the stock show in Farron. There was 465 animals that were housed. in that facility and had about 1,200 people. The old facility had about 85 to 100 places for people to sit. It was a one-time use. I mean, well, two times. We had a stock show twice a year. That's the only time this facility got used. The facility we're trying to build now is something that our community, not just our community, we want to see every Carbon County all be able to come use this. Barron's got a Western lifestyle way of life that goes back. We've got historical cattle trails that run through the city. That's been pushed through. So we want to keep that Western lifestyle where people can use this facility for, they can rodeo. Kids can come practice. We want to see kids. I see these schools that are building all these sports facilities help kids out with scholarships. We get more funding through that. I want to see some of these kids that rodeo. You take someone that can rodeo all year round, they can rodeo and practice, they're more competitive. So we want to be able to see the people, kids, some kids go to college, be able to use that new facility that we're going to build.
Any questions?
Yeah, I would just real quick, Kurt, I was going to ask, if we funded you at the minimum, it would be 2.1 in grant, and then the loan portion would be $900,000 for 30 years at half a point. That's about a $30,000 a year debt service on the loan amount. What do you think?
I mean, of course, I'm going to say that'd be tough. If we do accept anything like that, we'd have to take it back to the council and make sure that would go through. I was looking at a 2.5 and a 5 possibly at 1%, and that put our payment down around $19,000, $20,000. That might be more doable than that.
So the 2.5?
2.5 grand. Grand. Loans.
And then
500K
in loan, and then you're saying at 1%?
Mm-hmm. That might be more doable.
It's a little hard for the loan part of it. This facility that we use, if we let anybody come use it, so there's not a burden on anybody in the community, so everything will have to come through. There'll be no finances from this. So.
Yeah, it'll just, you'll be feeding it from your general fund.
Yeah,
understood. Kurt and then Commissioner Miles.
Okay, so my first question, the insurance money. So you said you haven't got a final settlement on it, but I'm sure you have an expectation about what they're going to pay. Is that, do you not expect them to pay full replacement value on the facility, or what?
Well, we hope so. That's what the point we're arguing with them is, their evaluation on the facility.
Because you thought they were kind of lowballing,
yeah,
what they were going to. Okay. But how much is that then? The lowball offer, I guess.
Right now, their lowball is 1.6 million.
Okay. But you can't construct the same facility you had before.
We've showed them that through multiple estimates and construction actual, from contractors. And
okay.
There's still.
But you're supposed to be covered for full replacement,
yes,
cost on the facility. So, I guess my question is: do you plan on having a bigger, more expensive facility than what you had before, or why won't the insurance money just pay for the facility like you had before?
Yes, the facility will be a bigger facility than it is. Laramie mentioned, the barn built, burned down, was built in 1939 specifically for the stock show. This new building, it's going to bring the stock show back to Farron, back to his home.
Okay.
But it also allows the use of the facility in the winter for the citizens. To the kids that are in the rodeo clubs to come do that. Right now we got it drawn up, it has a little meeting room on it as well, for not only for the stock show, but I've talked to members, I've had members of Dobbin reach out to me, they'd like to meet there, have their meetings there, so it is not just an exact replica of the barn that was there. No, we are building a bigger structure.
Okay. Well, and the reason I say is because you heard some of the projects that have come before us today, right? People that are in pretty dire circumstances and need to have water and sewer. And so when it comes to projects that are kind of nice to have for the community, that becomes a little bit tougher because I feel like at times we could be taking from somebody that might really be in a desperate circumstance. So that's, I guess, my concern. And then my other concern is, before I decide on a number to fund you, it would be nice to know what the insurance settlement is going to be so that we know what your true needs are. You know, because if you're able to go back and negotiate with the insurance company and get $3 million, then all of a sudden, you know, CIV is giving you a windfall of another $1.5 million or something.
I can tell you that they're not going to do that. They've provided $1 million up front right now, and they said they're not, they're being saying they're not going to budge from what their projection was. So we've got some other estimates from contractors that will hopefully budge them up to at least, I think we anticipated like 2.2 from them, so another 1.2 from them. That $3 million that we're seeing bringing into the table includes the $1 million they've already given plus the additional 1.2 that we're hoping to get out of them.
Okay, so that's where the $3 million is coming from.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
And maybe you just answered it, but so the 2.26 is what you're hoping to get from the insurance company.
Total, yeah.
And your contribution would be in kind for the demolition.
Yeah.
Commissioner Adams, and then Ms. Hansen.
Well, 30 years ago, we needed something for our kids to do in Monticello, and a bunch of us kind of got together and decided to start a junior livestock program, and we were able to get the road department to let us hold our fair in their tire shed. So we moved the tires back and had a little tiny arena about the size of this area here. And over a period of time with volunteers and so forth, we were able to build a nice facility at our fairgrounds. And what some people don't realize, north of Region 4 in UDOT, so I've got to figure out where that is kids in these small communities, that's their summer job, is to raise an animal and hopefully sell it at the junior livestock auction to give them enough money to count as a summer job. And, you know, fair and again, Emory County has these big power plants funded by coal. They're a big producer, big contributor to CIB. We had a couple of kids in our rodeo this June. I think they were from Farron. Their last name was Olson. You know?
Probably from Orangeville, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Actually, they're related to me. I'm just quizzing you. So, you know, we ought to consider those things, the fact that they've been a big producer for a long time, that their facility burned down, that they're here to get a little help. It's not as much as, you know, a city office or something like that, but I know how much the junior livestock and those programs mean to the young kids in a community, and so those are kind of my...
Thank you. Well, it sounds like there's some teenagers that could use something to do in the community. Maybe a community service opportunity. I have one question for you, and then I'm actually prepared to make a motion. Is there any ability to phase the project? It looks like it's a single building, but is there a way to kind of take on a chunk of it at this time?
And so the main portion would be the arena. And we could do that. My worry about phasing it is that it won't get completed, to be honest, 100% honest. Mm-hmm. To be able to have a good facility to, you know, house not only the stock show stuff, that side barn that's off to the side, that allows us to have pig pens and stuff and separate animals so everything's not in the one main arena. The little office space allows the 4-H and the stock show to go in there, do their tests while they're there doing all that stuff. To hold their, I mean, they hold the stuff throughout the year that they rent City Hall for. They could go back down there and be right there. Could it be phased? Yes. Would I prefer it not to be? Yes.
Sure. Okay.
Hey, just one more thing before she makes her motion. I'm looking here, applicant cash, Emory County Tourism, $2.26 million.
No, that's ours.
That's the insurance
money. That's our insurance money.
But what about the $500,000?
That's from the Emory County.
That's tourism?
Yes. Yeah.
And what about the $240,000?
That's our in kind for the demolition and stuff.
Okay.
All right. So you're looking at $500,000 from the county? That's a hopeful or a commitment?
That's, that would be nice if we could have come with a letter. We've heard anywhere from 1.5 to 1 to 5. They've kind of settled in on 5. No one was willing to give me a letter committing to that because of the tourism dollars. What's recently happened down in Grand County with the state auditor and stuff looking at how tourism dollars are used, some of the county commissioners kind of pulled the reins back on that. Because if tourism dollars we got approved, this is something that could bring in tourism. And so, you know, if building a facility like we are building will allow us to do something like that, so we think we qualify. So that 500 is probably what they're going to set on. I don't anticipate seeing any more.
But the idea of it being set, you'll be able to have roll-ins and different things in it?
Roll-ins. Even, I mean, we went to do, our big goal, our big dream that we shot at the legislation was to change the building with the multiple classrooms and all the fancy bells and whistles. We realized when we didn't get any luck there, we scaled it way back, and so we can still hold different events. You know, you can roll that dirt flat, and like you're saying, they have a plastic floor that they roll out, and they hold all sorts of things in there. And so we're looking at the same similar type of situation.
We all want to be Duchesne.
That's what I was going to say.
Well, I don't know that I want to pay the bill to keep
it. Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. I'll tell you, it's expensive to maintain.
Yeah.
You're insured through the league.
Yes.
What was the billing?
Trust, right? Is that what you mean?
Your local government's trust, sorry.
Yes.
League's the UAC opposition. But, what was the building insured for?
Total replacement.
What amount?
It's just total replacement.
Okay.
I don't know. I've never seen an amount that it was insured for. The policy just says total replacement.
So, and then if you went above and beyond that, obviously you would be paying the difference. But
yep.
For me, I just have heartburn. You know, the trust says, well, we don't know really what that's worth. And so then you come to CIB and we make up what the trust should have covered. So that's my heartburn.
Yeah.
I mean, you're either going to insure the building or you're not.
Yeah,
and so
if
we're the backup for the trust, I have heartburn with that.
Yeah, I agree. I would rather see us wait on this until we have some final numbers from the insurance company so that we know exactly what we're dealing with. Because I think, you know, I'm somewhat sympathetic to what you're doing, but...
For sure.
But it's not like an emergency like some of these other projects that we've seen today. And we are facing a crisis in terms of how much funds we have available. And so, you know, I understand you probably want to get going and, you know, as soon as the insurance money comes through. But I'd rather kick the can down the road in this situation.
One biggest reason why I wanted to get going on this and we pushed through for this meeting is next year that stock show has nowhere to go. Castlebell City has offered for them to use their facilities. This is their last year. So that's our reason why we're pushing for it now, is we're hoping to have construction final by June so we can house that. If not, then there might not be a lot of show next year. But that's why we should push for this meeting.
We're just outdoors.
Yeah.
Pigs outdoors is
the tent.
Yeah, Kurt, when you're buying insurance, everything's covered. When you're collecting,
nothing's covered.
Oh, is there
not
any?
Covered.
Yeah.
There's not a salesman in here.
There's all sorts of loopholes right now.
It's been my constant headache and keeping me up at night trying to get an insurance to get a number. We have provided them with another two estimates as opposed to the two that we provided right off the bat. And the guy emailed me Wednesday and said, I'm not going to have a number for you anytime soon. Sorry. I tried to get a solid number.
Yeah, no, I understand. That's really frustrating. It does put us kind of in a hard situation, though, because we're trying to fund something where we don't know where that's going to end up. So
I want to hear Laura's
motion.
Come on, Laura.
Well, Kurt's argument is a good one, that, yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty. My motion... I'll go ahead and make it anyways, and then just to have it on the table, and we can choose to not advance it. My motion was going to be $2.5 million in grant, $500,000 in loan at 1%, and that's about a $20,000 a year payment.
Second.
I would like to recommend that the maker of the motion amend that pending...
Excellent addition.
From the trust.
Pending confirmation of the insurance payment.
If I can get you a final number by the October meeting, I'll do everything I can.
And then if it doesn't get you all the way there, I would strongly encourage saving the project.
Yep.
Okay. They are taking a slightly higher interest rate than the minimum, so that's appreciated. And this will require an exemption due to wild juveniles and masses. They need something to do.
No parental controls.
I would say maybe special circumstance, given the timing of the stock show.
There you go.
Okay. So, question on that. It just comes to my mind. My homeowner's insurance, when I had kids at home, would cover my kids doing something like that up to a certain amount. Have you looked at that?
Well, I don't know if the trust or the insurance is going to go after those families' insurances. I know that the punishment the kids got was like a weekend in detention, and I think $1,000.
That's pretty light.
Okay, I'll call for a vote, Ms. Powers.
Can you state the motion real quick?
The motion is $2.5 million in grant, $500,000 in loan at 1%.
Pending
the insurance payment.
Yeah, final numbers.
Contingent.
So can we make a note that if this passes, that we want to ask about that before it's presented for funding?
Yeah. Contingent upon that. Mm-hmm. So would that, when that funding comes in, would that mean it would be reduced proportionately? That everything, the loan
yeah.
grant would be reduced proportionately? If they put in their end of it, or how
does
that get applied?
Well, we could redo it however
we
want.
We just renegotiate it.
Okay.
Depending
based
on how
it's
to clarify, they've indicated that some of the applicant cash was the potential insurance payment. The whole project is $6 million. So you're just paying part of it.
But we don't know if it's going to be that amount or not. That's the problem.
No, but the whole project is $6 million.
Right.
So, anyway, it's a $2.5 million grant, $500,000 loan, 1%.
30 years?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Treasurer Schwab?
No.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
No. That's a tough one, but
bad influence.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
That motion passes with two. Again.
Sorry.
The
well, that's what I mean. This came about as we were voting, but let's say the insurance company only comes back with they're only going to give you $1 million. Where are you going to get the other 1.26?
We will probably be back for more or I'm not afraid to try my hand at the legislature.
Well, I think if you're insured for full replacement cost,
you would beat that.
You could bring a lawsuit against the company.
And I have talked to our friend Mikhail in the upstate, and that's what he does for a living. He's been
Kurt knows an attorney.
That's right, Brooke.
If I heard Laura's motion right, she said if it doesn't, could be phased.
Well, yeah, I was going to suggest, look at phasing. If you can't find the money, it seems like maybe the arena could be appeased, the building could be appeased.
Yeah, I'm just going to make a side note. I don't think there's very many county facilities in the state that don't charge a fee. And if you're not charging a fee, are you requiring an insurance waiver when they come in?
That's all going to be changed. I mean, we're all from rural county. We all know that it's the good old boy system from way back.
Yeah.
And that's going
to
change.
Reach out to Johnny Miller, what you said, because that could leave you really vulnerable. And we charge different rates. If you're using it just for the day or 2 days or at night, there's different rates. But, boy, Sevier County couldn't afford to do that for free because they're expensive to maintain besides somebody to run it. So we appreciate all you're trying to do.
Yeah, thank you. I feel like I need to explain my note vote here. When it comes to approving things outside the range, I think that we should be a little bit more judicious about when we use that and reserve that for the emergency situations. We've had quite a few of those today. Yeah. And, you know, the fact that you're going to miss your stock show next year isn't, to me, an emergency. Like, I did stock show as a youth. I appreciate the program. I had to get up and, you know, when our ewes were lambing in the middle of January and it's 40 below zero in Vernal, I was out there in the barn helping them. So I understand, you know, the value of the program, but I just don't think that this rises to that. And so I feel like I just can't vote for that kind of a facility as an emergency and outside the range.
I'm a coordinator out of the coal mine, so this hard work them kids do, you see it.
Yeah.
The people we're hiring at 18 years old, you can know which ones did the dog shows. We know who ranch and farms we hired. So
if it's 40 below in Emory this winter, you'll vote for it?
Yes.
Hey, thank you.
Randolph.
That same winter it was 53 below.
Is anybody in here on the board of the trust?
1986.
I'm on the light side.
Several on the board of USIP.
I'm on the USIP, the light side.
I know a guy that knows a guy.
There we go. Just wondering. Asking for a friend. Thank you. Okay, up next, item 4.7 is the town of Dutch John. The project is for a fire station EMS building remodel and construction. Welcome. The request is for $612,750 in grant. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm Butch Johns. I'm the mayor of Dutch John. And I'm also the one that did the request here because I wanted to know the process. That way, that's why I think I asked all for grant on this, not knowing the full process. So now I've got a better understanding of how this process works. Anyway, this project here is to remodel the fire station, which was, this was built by the Bureau in, I think, 89 to 90. And it really has needs to be upgraded. It wouldn't pass safety codes or anything else right now. And part of the upgrade is to change the ambulance bay or remodel the ambulance bay for a future ambulance that we're going to receive, hopefully, and also to just upgrade all the safety systems and bring it up to standards, handicap standards, and things like that. So it's had problems with leaking roofs. One of the other things, this building is cost quite a bit to maintain utility-wise, mostly because of the way it's wired. And the other part of this project is for like a clinic, which would be built just right behind the fire station there. And this clinic is we've been talking to Ashley Valley Hospital I haven't, but we've had a representative that has, about opening a clinic up in Dustion for the town of Dustion and its and the surrounding areas. And part of the discussion is that they would like to build a place of their own up there in the future, but they want to have a place to just, you know, get a feel of how the town grows and what it needs to be. And then in, so I found this concept here from an architect, and I've been working with him, and this kind of meets what our needs is. And if you notice, it's a two-story building, and the reason it's two-story is because on the second, the bottom floor, floor would be the clinic, and the top floor would be like two apartments. And that apartment idea came about from Congressman Kennedy, because in talking with him about the needs of Dutch Johns in that area there, he was we were brainstorming, talking about how utility the universities, doctors training, rural medicine and stuff like that, that they would be able to have an opportunity to come here, but they needed a place to stay. And so this, the apartments on the top would be for visiting EMTs, doctors, whoever, medical staff, that if they came up there, it would be available to them to stay there at no cost to them. And so that's kind of the basic part of it.
Commissioner Miles?
I got a question. On your minutes, I noticed there's a different amount than what you're applying to CIB for. So the minutes reflect that you're asking for total CIB request $492,750.
Right, in the minutes.
Yeah.
And what happened there was working with the architect, he came back with a different number than what we originally thought. And so since we were in the process of filing the application, I raised that up.
With the board's consent?
Pardon?
With your council's consent?
Well, the council knows that. I don't know if they didn't have consent. I just let them know that, hey, they come back and said it was going to be probably this much more money, and so I would change the budget, or change the application.
So follow up, if I could, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
These minutes are from May 16th, and I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just, I'm just wondering if when you got that, because you probably should have had another public hearing to let the public know that you're going for more money than what you had originally told them in May.
Yeah, probably correct.
When did you find out that information?
I don't know. I think I sent a letter that might be in the packet from the where I was talking to the architect. And I think I forwarded that, since he sent me the email, I forwarded that to CIB here to see that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Questions, comments, motion? Commissioner?
I'll make a motion. I think I went through Dutch John once. I'm not sure if it was awful fast.
It's beautiful.
You'd remember if you went through it.
Yeah, I did. But
yeah,
that's what I understand.
He can see Monticello when he stands up.
Conservation officer.
There's only 144 people there. There's no way that they can pay anything back on this, in my opinion. And this is a wonderful facility that they're doing here. I'll make a motion to approve it as requested with financial hardship.
Second.
Okay, motion to approve as requested with financial hardship by Commissioner Bartholomew. Second.
Can I just have one comment on that?
Commissioner Brown.
Those people in Dutch John, most of those homes are actually short-term rentals.
That's not so.
That isn't so?
Most of
them. I had somebody tell me that.
No, I think we have 57 full-time residential homes, and the rest, I think, which would be 37 are secondary homes.
Still a large chunk.
Good clarification, but there is quite a few that are short-term rental homes, not people living there.
Mayor, do you know how many are short-term rental that have at least gotten business licenses or whatever for the nightly rental?
I don't know the number. I couldn't. I know that they're. I sign them, but I just don't know how many they are.
Yeah.
You just have a moratorium on how many could be. Hello. Is that changing?
Yeah, state law required us to just allow anybody to have them at one and a half.
If I may, just so you instituted approved property tax
correct.
For the town.
Correct.
Does that help you with in terms of what you can do? As you come to us in terms of some participation in this beyond the grant?
So the property tax that we just passed for the first time, we never had one, is for emergency services only. And a third of that goes to, there's a third for like law enforcement, a third for EMS, and a third for fire. And that, we budget like $7,000 a year for the fire station. But with this, we have one fire engine that's an old fire engine, and we need more equipment. We need different types of equipment. We need a lot of stuff, especially for the fire and also for EMS. And so that money that we have that for the property taxes is the seed money to do the things we need to do. It's like with the EMS, it's like there, hopefully by the first year we can start getting people that we can have an EMT for the fire, for the ambulance, and we can start getting them trained. And it costs money to have them trained. And that's what that money is. But that's kind of seed money. It's not, even though people look at it and say, well, $30,000 or $35,000 is not enough to have, EMTs and ambulance and stuff. Well, that's true. It costs money, but you got to have some money to start with. And that's what that money's for.
Ms. Hansen and then Commissioner Taylor.
Yes, I was just going to mention, I mentioned this in one of the previous applicants, but there are some FEMA grants that can help with firefighting equipment and trucks and training. So keep an eye out for those as well. And if you need links or connections to those, let me know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to tell you the same thing. Plus, there's a lot of these fire departments around that when they get done with some of their equipment, they donate them to smaller communities. I know we've been... we've benefited from that in rural Utah. So there's all kinds of opportunities there. Also, remind me where you went to high school. Where did you go to high school?
Right next to you.
Well, the game warden is here, so
Chris got to see
those two together. I've heard that the commission's told stories, and like, I don't know if I want to admit to any of them.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got a motion on the floor to place on the priority list as requested. Motion made by Commissioner Bartholomew, seconded by Commissioner Brown. Call for a roll call vote, please.
Chairman, point of order.
Yes.
I just want them to clarify that this will be owned by Dutch John. It will be a public facility, publicly owned, for eligibility for CIB funding.
Okay.
Exemption
wise,
is
that a
problem?
We should say that for all of them.
Yeah,
that
you can only fund something public, public infrastructure for public use.
Yeah, this is just strictly for the public.
And you will own it. Dutch John will own it.
Are you talking about the hospital discussion? Is that what raised that issue in terms of whatever you're
doing?
Yes,
the medical center.
Yeah, it will be owned by Dutch John. Well, let me say it will be owned by the Dutch John's local business authority that we have.
Who's
the
part of
the business authority? Is it not a municipality?
Yeah, we're a municipality, but we incorporated this business authority to be able to manage land.
It's constructed under the MBA.
It's just the way it makes it easier for us to get bonds in the future.
Special service district.
Yeah.
So who's the applicant? Is it the town or the business?
I don't know. We'll have them verify it. Please verify before the October 2nd meeting that it's a public entity that will own this.
Okay, I'll send you the letter.
But the applicant is Dutch John, not the building authority?
Right, just the town of Dutch John.
Okay.
Treasurer Flaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hanson?
Yep.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Meyer?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
And Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
It's good to see you, Mayor.
Yeah, good to see you again, too.
Okay.
Okay, up next we have item, you know, actually real quick, Kaylee, would you join us? I just wanted to see how we're tracking in terms of funding.
I've tracked it.
Okay.
We're still $4 million in the red and $8 million in the positive for bonus.
So we're still $4 million in the red on grant. I think we funded everything else remaining.
Although
not counting the money that we anticipate between now and October.
Yeah, right. Hopefully. Well, you'll only get one more month, I think.
Right.
Which is August, which we haven't logged. September won't be in and available yet. We're always lagging 1 month behind on the revenue.
But we'll get one more month.
We started off tonight. How much in the red on grant again?
8 million.
So
7.9.
So we not cut that by half. Okay, item 4.8, Town of Junction, road improvement projects in Paiute County. Come on up, gentlemen. Welcome. The request is for $1.75 million in grant, and we're outside the range. Please introduce yourselves and tell us about your project.
I guess I'll start. Kelly Chappell with Enzyme Engineering.
Corey Morrison, board member.
Greg Pearson, mayor.
I guess I'll tell you about the project. So, Junction's been considering a road improvement project for some time, and it's just taken a little bit to get in motion and get on the CIB prioritization list. But one of the challenges that Junction has faced in the past is, like many other rural communities, they would save some money for for several years just to do, you know, a small chip seal project to cover a few streets. From what I recall, from previous conversations, Junction has been CCIB in the past for road improvement projects, but most of the scope of that has been limited to just, you know, to mainly chip seal. As we met with Junction and we discussed some planning options, one of the things that was discussed is to do a more robust roads plan to actually get the road back up to a more serviceable condition so that maintenance activities like chip seal, slurry seal, et cetera, could be then carried forward through, you know, through the normal maintenance cycle. So that's the intent and the goal of this project is a lot of overlays, HMA overlays on most of the city streets. On the map, you'll see a couple long streets to lead out. You know, it looks like they're outside of town, but they're town streets, but they function almost like county collectors, where the city has the obligation to maintain them, but and that puts on some stress on the city. So that's the proposed project. There's a lot of overlays, some partial debt reclamation, and a couple new rebuilds, as well as a chip seal on a couple of streets.
Thank you. Questions about the project? Motion?
I have a couple of questions. Yeah. So, for the roads that are going in here, is this like after traffic that comes through, or is this local traffic, or what are the roads that are being proposed to pick?
It's all the city roads that are currently paved are what's proposed in the project. So, you know, the grid or the old block system.
All of that.
Yep.
Okay.
So those oranges would be overlay projects. So the grid there, that's the block system, currently paved road. Those reds are rebuilds or partial depth reclamation. Okay. And then
yellow chip.
So how many residents in Junction?
Says on the application 217 or something.
212. And these are paved roads now, or are they? They're not gravel right now, right?
No, they're not. Some of them, no. Some of them are gravel. Most of them are paved roads.
Two of the little red ones are still dirt.
Yeah. And they're, we've chip sealed over and over again. And they're kind of just coming apart. And all
the road base.
And that's about all there is on the road, just chip seal.
All the edges of the Murray Road right now on most of them, the grass and stuff is taken over the road. Yeah, coming up through it. A lot of potholes. It's just getting so rough. I think what's happened is over the years, you know, we'll save up and chip seal this block here. And then by the time we get back to that block, it's been so long that they're just so rough. And then they get tore up. And we're just falling behind on trying to keep up with them with the money we got. It's just getting worse and worse and worse.
Well, that's another thing, too, with the road money that we have coming in. We can't, it used to be that we could kind of keep up. But now we can't. We can only do with the road funds we've got coming in. We can only do maybe a block or two. And then by the time you get back to that block or two, they're destroyed.
Yes, Commissioner Miles.
Well, all of these roads that are highlighted, they're all in town limits.
Yes.
And the ones in darker orange color, those are new pavement. So you've got dirt there now.
No, there's some asphalt there now.
Yeah, those oranges would all be paved currently, or at least chips in the road.
But
roads.
These
here
are the
hot.
Those two are
there,
yeah.
Just a little short ones.
Well, they don't have much ability to service any debt, but you know, as just mentioned, we're $4 million in the red on grant funding. So any of the grants moving forward that we approve, we're just putting ourselves in a position in October to hopefully we receive more revenue by then than we have. Otherwise, we're going to have to make some tough decisions in October. But.
Mr. Chairman, I'm prepared to make a motion.
Okay,
I'd make a motion that we approve as requested, just for the mere fact that this isn't the place to make up our indebtedness problem.
Second.
Is there an exemption?
Yeah, hardship, financial hardship.
I have one question before we vote. Do you ever gone to UDOT? Because they do a lot of little grants where they'll come in and fix your road for you.
No.
I mean, you got to get on the list, but have you ever tried that?
We did a drainage system a while back, and we put in new culverts through all of our roads, and we got a road that runs right through it, and they've got smaller culverts. So I said, hey, can you guys upsize these? And they wouldn't even work with us there. And we constantly clean out our culverts.
Yeah, we clean them out once or twice a year to get all plugged off, and they just got them little teams.
And they're supposed to clean theirs, and they don't do it, and they told us not to, but we've got to clean it, or we're going to end up flooding people out. So every time we try to go to UDOT, it's been pretty hard for us.
Could you work on that, Bruce?
Bruce?
Yeah.
You knew that.
I'd let them know I'm from rural Utah.
Okay.
You can see it from your house.
Okay, I'll call for a roll call vote to place on the priority list as requested.
As noted, this will be on the October 2nd agenda for final funding approval. Treasurer Slaw.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yep.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
That motion passes unanimously.
Hey, thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you. You bet. keep those culverts clean.
So up next, we have under special consideration, we need a motion to consider this next project under special consideration.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Hampton, seconded by Commissioner Taylor. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, item 8-1 is special consideration project by the town of Glendale. Welcome. This is for water system improvements. This is an emergency situation, but we'll let the applicant introduce themselves and tell us a bit about their request.
So I'm Kyler Nielsen from Jones & Mill. This is Carson, also from Jones & Mill. We do have a, the mayor was planning on being in attendance, but he had to have surgery yesterday, so he was unable to make it. We have a council member on Zoom, Paul Cox, if he's on there.
All right, can you hear me?
Yep.
Perfect. All right, well, thank you for we're, we don't want to be here doing this, but our hands are a little bit forced at this point. So we're in Glendale. I don't know if any of you have ever been through here. And driven through our town. There's 310 residents and 223 water services. So we do a pretty good job of keeping our stuff up. We've done some improvements. 2017, we tried to redo our water system the best we could. We've done a whole bunch of improvements to it. We reworked our springs so that we're getting pretty good flow. Our well was at that same time was monitored, and it was pretty good. It was doing all that it needed to. In July of 24, there was an earthquake. Whether this is related or not, it all happened at the same time. And our well, the casing broke. We're getting sediment in it, and it's going to let us down. That's why we're here today.
Thank you, Paul, council member. Questions for the applicant? Motion?
A question?
Yes, sir.
What is the drinking water folks like?
They said that there wasn't any funding available really for us for this emergency situation.
Did they say check with CID first?
They didn't have any available, so we went to USDA to see if they had anything available, and they didn't really have anything that was super helpful for us, and so they both kind of said try CID next and see what they have for you.
They didn't think having drinking water was that important, or what?
They have no idea what stuff you guys could afford.
So they, drinking water had, I believe, they had more loan for us than anything, so the town just can't afford that at the time. So they've been trying to keep an eye out for what they've been, since that 2017 project, they've looked for funding opportunities to address this well and try to take it on, but every opportunity has just come back is out of their range of affordability. So that's why we're here today.
So what are you doing now then for water?
So right now the well is still active. It is still producing, but it is decreasing significantly. It originally was producing about 135 gallons a minute. Now it'll start about there, but it's decreasing down to 100 gallons a minute, even lower. It's taking significantly longer to fill up the tanks, but it's still able to meet the demand right now. So we're trying to hurry and address it before it completely fails on the system.
Could this be also a result of the drought that we're experiencing?
I don't have any information to support that. We're anticipating drilling a new well right next to the existing one. We'd hope that it could produce as the well has historically. And we believe the issue is just a cracked casing on sediment fill.
Commissioner Taylor? Yeah. In rural Utah, water is the key to the West. And you can see today with all the applicants around, this is critical.
If you're ready, I'd make a motion that we approve as requested.
Second.
Do we need to suspend the rules to fund it too?
It would be helpful.
Yeah.
You want to add that to your motion, to the motion?
What did you say, Candace?
You can, but yeah, you can.
Suspend and fund? Is that what you said?
So we can fund it immediately.
I'm willing to do that.
Do we feel like it's an emergency that has to be done immediately because it's still produced and they're just trying to get ahead of it?
We just need one more month to get through the funding meeting.
I don't know.
You tell me.
Are you ready to drill the new well tomorrow?
So we anticipate the design to be the same as the current well that's there. So we should be ready to go fairly quickly. And if that well is to fail, say tomorrow or next week, they do not have enough source capacity to meet just the average day demand. So they do have a secondary source that's ready at spring, and it's producing anywhere between 40 and 50 gallons a minute. But if that well goes out, then they don't have sufficient capacity to meet the rest of the system demands, as well as there are 10 connections that are solely serviced by that well. So if that well goes out, they, without having a booster station installed, those 10 connections won't be able to receive water.
Thank you.
And so are you able to at least distance yourself a little bit from that well and then possibly recase that one so you've got a secondary water source of some sort?
We've looked at a couple options up in that area, but we feel like the best way moving forward is just coming off and just re-drilling that exact well, or that exact area, excuse me, just right next to that existing well and abandoning that other one. There's, with the condition of the casing, it'd be more expensive to try to replace that and rehab that than just drilling a new one.
It offers good sediment.
It's still making water, I guess, is my point, and it would give you a secondary source and a backup situation rather than just cap it and abandon it, plug it.
Have you done some inspection camera or anything?
It has been camera, yes, and that casing was cracked. And then since that earthquake last summer, that's when we saw the decrease in production. So we don't have meter data to show correlation between those two, but it was at the same time that the decrease, that the well did see decrease in production.
Chairman, point of order?
Yes.
In regards to whether or not you fund it today or fund it in October, it should be noted that a loan will take about 45 to 60 days to initiate the ability for them to seek reimbursement yet to close the loan first.
That's okay. Commissioner Taylor, are you amending your motion to suspend the rules and fund immediately?
I'll do that.
I'll second it.
Okay.
And you were the second?
I will.
We were fighting over it.
Push comes to shove.
I give.
Okay. Let's have a roll call vote, please. Motion is to fund as requested and suspend the rules to fund the year.
And the exemption?
Financial hardship.
Treasurer Flaw.
Yes.
Ms. Hanson.
Yep.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yeah.
Mr. Miles?
Aye.
Mr. Taylor?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Winfield?
Yes.
Mr. Adams?
Yes.
That motion passes. It is suspended. It is funded as of today.
Thank you
so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Tell the mayor good luck.
Yeah, best wishes to the mayor.
He will.
Thank you, Councilmember Paul.
Yep,
okay.
Thank you for not listening to us today.
That. Okay, up next is a discussion with the potential for an action item. I'll turn this one over to Ms. Hanson.
Wait, Town of Escalante.
Town of Escalante.
Oh, I don't have that. Oh, I don't have that on mine.
Escalante. Oh, sorry.
That's okay. I'll
make a motion.
Okay, I'll read off, Ms. Okay, item 8.2. You sure you don't want to take this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Item 8.2, the town of Escalante.
for an emergency spring restoration and water. This is our emergency request. Request is for $517,700 in grant.
Vote to hear.
And we need a vote from the board to hear the project.
Motion.
Motion made by Commissioner Winfield, seconded by Commissioner Bartholomew. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? And so we're going to go ahead and hear this project. Is there anyone with Escalante here today? Is it Escalante, Escalante?
Okay. Maybe the mayor can clarify that.
We'll answer to Escalante, preferably no.
Escalante.
Yep.
Escalante.
We'll answer.
So you're okay with the T, but the Tay is not?
No, no Tay.
So hold the Tay.
We know you're out of town if it's a Tay.
Escalante.
What about Zion?
Same group.
Greetings from Escalante City. It's nice to see so many familiar faces. So, as you well know, I don't know if you've looked at the application, we are in an emergency crisis right now with our springs and water. I'll go ahead and let Stephanie, I guess a quick introduction. Melanie Torgerson, Mayor of Escalante City.
Stephanie, City, down the street.
And Richard White, engineer.
So last Saturday morning, we received a phone call from a resident saying that they had lead in the water coming out of their house. We sent the public works up there to look at it and ask for investigating. We had found out that we had a landfill that went around that came down into our stream and into our collection box. We overflowed into three collection boxes, which brought mud into our system. The people that have called us is on the stream from the owner. We have two tanks that the stream line does come down to the tank after probably supplying about 20 of them. So these homes were without water for a while. We had to turn our streams out. We had to go up and capture one stream and do a bunch of work on it. But we ended up putting a boil order on. We ended up looking at the drinking water. Emergency out yesterday on this, and at this time we need to stabilize the mountain. So if we don't do anything with the rain, the springs that are now exposed on the mountain, it's going to supply the mountain and possibly put us in a situation. So we're here asking for help for anything that's just going to stabilize it, to get our springs back on, to get our protection back on.
Thank you.
We do have a well, but we use that as a secondary water source. It's not great water. We're looking at a filtration system in the future. We're looking at grants and an extra tank. It has high iron smell, manganese. So the well that we do use is a secondary water. Not great, but so. Commissioner Taylor was actually, I was on the mountain enjoying homemade root beer and Dutch oven potatoes with no cell service until they could get in touch with me. And Commissioner Taylor was actually with our city employees, staff, volunteers on the mountain taking care of things. So I appreciate him being willing to jump in. I was enjoying a little bit break, at least for a couple a day.
For the record, this is my hometown community, but also for the record, Saturday when it happened, I left family so that I could go up and help the city employees clean out these collection boxes. We were in mud up to our hips, trying to get them cleaned out to get water flowing the way that it needed to be. It actually took out three quarters of the springs to start with. And then the mud in the line. I know there's tanks that need to be cleaned now. The well is one of those wells that when they're running the well, your water in your tub is green and it has an odor to it. So in my opinion, this is an emergency, and I appreciate the board being willing to hear this.
Okay, do we have a motion?
Oh, yeah. No, I want to say, if you've ever tried to drink boiling water, it's really hot.
So it's supposed to let it cool. So.
And we still have a boil order today.
So I'll make a motion to approve as presented.
Second.
Okay. Motion to, is this a suspended fund or is this a?
Yes.
Okay.
Clarifying question.
Yes.
What are we paying for? Could you just walk us through what we're giving you, the $517,000?
Yeah, the there are a few aspects to it. The one of the primary purposes is going to be to stabilize the slope. When the slope failed, one of the side advantages of the slope failing was that it became apparent where the water was coming out of the mountain, at least in a section of it. And so one of the primary purposes is going to be to put the collection system at a location on the slope that that intercepts the water before it gets to the remainder of the slope. There's a shale layer that comes out on the from the edge of the mountain. The water is riding on top of that shale. The collection system prior to then was in the slope below that shale outcrop. So the bulk of the soil was saturated, and that's what caused the slope to fail. So we'll end up moving that collection system back up onto the shale bed. The problem with that is it's a very narrow spot, and it's an unstable slope. And so it's going to be a safety issue. There's going to be a fair amount of extra effort put in just to overcome the safety problems of getting that collection system up on top of that shale slope because the mountain behind it has failed. Then the rest of the effort is going to be to provide some long-term stability to the slope so that we don't have this issue in the future. It looked like, from my evaluation, the water got into the mud is getting into the system, not from where the collection system is, but the pipe below the collection system broke when the slope slipped, and so we've got to look at there's going to be alternatives to make sure that that everything from the collection system down, even within the slope that is currently unstable, is going to have to be in a stable format. And so that's where the effort's going. There is some money in there for some geotechnical investigations to make sure that we evaluate things and fix things from a geotechnical standpoint to make sure that that slope stays stable long term.
Okay, thank you. Motion made. Suspended fund as requested, seconded by Commissioner Winfield. Call for a vote, please.
And I'm going to assume an emergency response exemption.
That's a great assumption.
Special circumstance?
Treasurer's law.
Emergency.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes. Let me know. My grandpa and grandmother came from Escalante, Bakers. So.
Oh, now we're related.
No,
yeah, we are.
Well, it could be.
Mama Baker.
That was years ago. So. Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, that's good. Huh?
Commissioner Miles?
I'm waiting for your phone to come out.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
This was a suspended fund. Please have an estimate before we can get a contract out to you for this funding. Thank you, Senator.
What about the difference in Escalante?
You just can't do it.
Or Escalante?
Escalante? Escalante.
I've actually looked at weather for NFL. There are major weather forecasters who grew up in this state and know better constantly say Escalante. And it's like, dude.
Same ones that say Zion.
Just thinking how to say Kusharam, though.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you. We could not exist. We would not have the infrastructure we have without the CIB board. And an FYI, our new addition to our medical clinic looks absolutely amazing. The parking lot is the best one in all of Garfield County. So I just a sincere thank you for all that you've done to help our little community.
Thank you.
And thank you, Commissioner Taylor, for
Thank you, guys. You have a great staff. You have a great staff and great employees. They were there.
They handle things
day and
perfectly.
Night. Really good.
And I did enjoy my camping trip for a while.
Thank you. Travel safe. Item 9 is our GOPV RPP conversation. Can I turn this over to you now?
Now you can. Okay. Yes. All right. If you remember at our policy meeting, we talked about how the state provides technical assistance resources to our local communities through our AOGs. And we had three separate contracts between the state and AOGs for different types of technical assistance. There was planning technical assistance, there's the local administrative advisor program, which is like city administration type assistance, and then there's the RPP program that is funded by PCIB. In an interest to make it easier for our customers and sort of streamline and simplify things, we discussed combining those three different funding sources and those three different contracts with the AOG, so there would just be a single contract between the AOG and the state. They could issue, you know, send us a single invoice and get a single check back rather than three contracts, three invoices, and three checks from the three different funding sources. And so at our meeting, we kind of preliminarily approved the consolidation of this, pending, you know, working out the final details and then coming back and ratifying that here. We've combined those contracts. We've executed them with all of the AOGs, and we have this memorandum of agreement that is in your packet today that explains the relationship between PCIB and GOPB's office. And so there's a lot of reporting requirements. There's a lot of, you know, compliance requirements that are built into this. But let me just remind you what you're funding with these funds. So the AOGs are receiving $150,000 each in the rural parts of the state, only $2,000 each in the urban part of the state for help with this scope of work. And the scope of work includes educating communities on capital asset planning, assisting communities with development of the capital asset self-inventory that is required by PCIB, helping the community leaders understand and develop one-year, two-year, and five-year PCIB application lists using our new Utah Project Portal, hosting required application trainings for the communities in the region, helping communities vet PCIB funding requests to make sure that, you know, they're, like, bringing us good projects, assisting the local communities with their PCIB applications themselves and project review and funding process. So that's the scope of work that PCIB pays for. We love our AOGs. I think they do a great service for the communities in our regions. And, you know, as we've seen today, a lot of the communities are so small and have so little resources that having the AOGs there to be able to provide that additional capacity and technical expertise is worth a whole lot. And so what we're asking you to do today is to essentially just sort of ratify what's already been executed based on your previous motion of support and vote of support that we're simplifying the contracting process between the AOGs and the state.
Move to ratify.
Motion made by Commissioner Bartholomew, seconded by Commissioner Winfield. Any discussion on the motion?
Okay, so where does this money go to the AOGs then?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So interestingly enough, I'm part of this asset and review task force that's looking at public fund balances across the state because they've actually grown pretty tremendously. You know, school districts, it's all municipalities, and guess who's grown the most?
the AOG. Well,
the AOG have a whole heck of a lot of money.
Yeah.
So can you explain that, and why are they coming to CIB if they have so much excess money?
Well, I don't know that.
Did I just ignore that?
You can kick him under the table, Greg. You can get him from the other side.
Of course.
I don't want to respond on behalf of the ARGs because they get funding for a whole variety of different types of things. You know,
right.
They do weatherization, they do aging services. Like, ARGs perform a lot of services for our local governments, and I know some of you sit on ARG boards, so maybe you can help me explain some of that. The three funding sources that they get through our contract, one is basically funds a full-time planner. So imagine a community of 200 people doesn't have the resources or the need to have a full-time trained professional planner on board, but they need some help here and there, right? And so this is a single person that then becomes kind of a shared resource for the 30 to 40 communities within the ARG that don't have those resources. So that's one of the positions. The other is a similar kind of thing, but focused on city administration type work, so helping communities develop budgets, meet public noticing requirements, consider taxes or fee increases, annexation policies, like the HR policies, things like that. Again, for communities, I think we found that 147 communities across the state have no paid administrative staff at all. And so this is providing that need. And then the funding from PCIB is something that we've funded for probably over a decade, I would say. Beyond a decade, and really it is to help ensure that our communities have the support that they need to prepare applications, come to us, prepare good applications, have a good inventory of what their assets are, and, help those communities with the PCIB application.
I understand the purpose of the AOGs and, what some of them do.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, we fund a lot of very important stuff here, right? And another $754,000 might mean the difference in somebody getting water where they have no water. If the AOGs are sitting on like $74 million or something, just what I saw, like, we need to check that. And, like, I don't think they need, like, whatever their funding sources are, it's way more than enough of what their expenses are. Their bottom line is... I don't know why they're ballooning out money then, if that's not the case.
$74 million is.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'll have to go run my report for that.
I'll address that if I could.
When you run that report, maybe the color of the money is important.
I will just note this contract that we're approving today is only $150,000 per AOG. So, yes, the number that you've cited is big, but the amount that we're talking about here is $150,000 per AOG to five AOGs.
Would you have previously funded?
Did we already have a motion in the second? All the questions?
Yes. Yeah, we're ready for vote. The $374 million is what the treasurer's office is sitting on.
You should send us that report, though, Kurt.
I'm going to run it. It's actually publicly available on the auditor. The auditor put together these reports. I'll send everybody up a link after the meeting, and you can go in and look at every public entity that's out there, and it shows the growth that's occurred over the last 4 or 5 years. Because I can tell you there's been a lot of growth, and getting the attention of the legislature because, anyway.
I'd love to sit down.
When is that going to be available?
It is now.
Okay. Roll call vote, please, Ms. Powers. Please.
This is to ratify the CIB's AOG funding to the regional planning program to go through GOPB starting this fiscal year 26. Treasurer's Law.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yeehaw.
Okay.
So this shifts it to the governor's office of COPD, where it has been occurring through?
Just generally through contracts straight from CID.
So now the money flows from DWS and GLPD, and then we contract with the ASU. Correct.
And the board decided to make that work, or did you just decide?
Yeah, when you were in
Item 9.2, I actually do have an issue with the meeting date on October 2nd, so I was going to see if the board would be all right bumping that up to October
9th. Are you aware of that?
No.
Can't. Okay, what about the following week?
Can't.
What about the week before?
Oh,
what was the question?
I can't be available to meet October 2nd.
I can't either.
So we got to find another date for our October funding meeting. The 9th doesn't work.
How about the 6th? Monday's the 6th.
The only issue there is the rural summit's kicking off.
Yeah.
I know some of us are obligated there.
There's an elk hunt in the middle of that.
If he's here during the middle of Yale County, I'm hunting elk.
What about Friday the 3rd? What about Friday the 3rd?
That will work.
Okay, so you can't do the 2nd, you can't do the 3rd. What can you do, Jerry?
23rd. Next week. I could do the 9th.
The 23rd of October?
Yeah.
How about the 10th? Friday the 10th.
I have city council that night.
Okay, we've got October 23rd on the table.
That's you ain't going to make it.
That's our ARG meeting.
Scott, mine as well. You can't do the 3rd, Scott? You can't do the 3rd?
I can the 3rd.
But you can't?
I can't.
No. But you can do the 10th? You do the 10th, Scott?
Yeah.
I can do the 10th.
Bruce
can do
the 10th.
I can't do the 10th.
Bruce who?
What about the week of the 20th?
Any day.
I'm tied up to 21st.
22nd?
22nd?
Yeah, I'm tied up on the 21st and the 23rd. 22nd works for me.
22nd?
Yep.
In the morning.
What's going on, Jack?
Is that in the middle of the day?
Well, I'm deer hunting too, but.
No, I'm not hunting.
He's working.
My primary job
is to be one of me or my relatives.
I think we got to do the 22nd. I don't know what else to do.
We'll figure it out for you,
but
not me. Okay.
Do we have a problem on the 8th?
What do you want me to do? Miss the meeting on the 2nd?
You want me to miss the 22nd?
I don't know. One of us is running. The other one's chasing.
Did we cover the 8th of October, which is a Wednesday? Was there conflict on it?
The what?
Yeah, I have a meeting that
you
afternoon.
Have a meeting?
Yep.
Okay. I don't know.
How long is it going to take us? Can we meet at the rural summit?
Oh, yeah. In theater.
What date was that?
The 6th through the 8th.
I'd have to look at the itinerary for that. There's like a portion of that. I'm going to be doing stuff down there.
That might not be. Everybody have to move all the stuff down there, too.
The other option is we can meet virtually on the 2nd.
2nd of October.
You can, I just won't be able to.
So we can meet virtually on the 2nd, or we can meet on the 22nd, but Jack's unavailable, or we could try to push it off for the fall. That's still the hunt, the following week, huh, Jack?
The later we get, the worse it gets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't meet virtually on the second?
Meet the first.
What about the first? I'm gone all the way, guys. I have a sister-in-law that's dealing with cancer, and it's a family trip.
What if we met on the first and we Jerry,
yeah,
I just tune in virtually. Would that be okay?
I can try, but if I can't, you guys, I'll give my vote to Bruce.
Hey, hold on.
Just what you need, Bruce, with two votes.
So,
I think that's the best.
What I could do
the first is probably the best.
Then we can
meet. Or did it go away?
Right now we have 1A is the first and 1B is the 22nd.
And it's virtual.
I'm good.
1A,
one.
No virtual.
We just had Jack try to call it. The rest of us could be here.
Yeah.
Could you just move into November? Thursday of November?
First.
Yeah, that's a good point. Do the first just because people are waiting on that money.
Yeah.
I think the first is the best.
First one for me.
Okay. Going, gone. October 1st. Wednesday.
And it's a virtual.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's here in person.
It's in person.
And I apologize, I can't make it.
You can make the first?
No, I can't. And it's okay.
So hard to change.
Okay. Good. Thanks for being flexible.
You done?
And with that, I'll adjourn the meeting. Thanks, everyone. We're heading into the meeting in the first, about $4 million in the hole, so hopefully we close that gap. Now, man.
Somebody should have bought a lottery ticket for $1.7 million.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kurt. Billion, right?
Thank you.
And then we'd be zero.
And you'd only get to keep
25
percent of it.
Yeah.
So you have a
year,
$500 million. I don't know if you
could. I think they said it's 400 and some million.
How do we do?
So you didn't walk.
We're happy to have you.
I still think we should have changed it to where you turned it over.
Yeah,
sorry. Okay.
Move it to where you turned it over.
Who would have thought we had to come to Fort White to get a mug? We'd go to Chicago or New York to get a mug.
I mean, I responded yes on the meeting, so I guess I'm not.
Well, she's trying to move
it back. Oh, she's trying to move it back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
all right, you're back. No problem.
No, you're running.
Yeah, I need the rest. Oh.
If we have made so much